Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Well, we certainly had a draft, a first night of the draft that was unpredictable, that was a lot of picks that were not foreseen by all the experts, a lot of trades, a lot of craziness, a lot of superstars getting swapped for picks. It was quite the evening for a draft that was full of guys that really the casual fan has no idea who they were. Somehow they wound up being an air of electricity and excitement throughout the evening for the first round of the draft, and we are here to break it all down for you. This is Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live for 90 minutes on a Friday night, April the 29th, 2022. I'm Dre, he's Jay. This is our 2022 NFL Draft Aftermath. A lot of big pick energy last night, a lot of trades, a lot of picks getting swapped back and forth, and just everything was up in the air. Jay, was crazy. Just the switch got flipped, and all of a sudden, everyone decided we need to make a deal. We need to move up. We need to move up two spots to get a defensive lineman. We need to do all sorts of craziness. I don't know what you made of all that, but at least it made it interesting.
Hooray, beer!
You enjoyed the Georgia big man that got drafted.
That was the first thing that came into my brain. I couldn't have been alone with that one. That was just immediately my mind flashing to the old Red Stripe commercials with the was it Jamaican guy?
I believe so.
You know, and hooray beer. Yeah, that's all I could think of. I texted you that. You knew what I meant.
Oh, yeah, of course, because we are on the same wavelength many, many times. I don't even know which pick that was, but no, he had quite the – there's a lot of suits, a lot of fashion choices, that, as always, you're going to have that at the draft. So that was a choice.
I saw that the Jaguars' first pick of the third round was named Luke Fortner. I'm just wondering if he's any relation to Eli.
He might – well – he does not appear to be made up, unlike Eli Fortner, who was made up. So he's real.
And okay.
Poor Eli Fortner was not as far as I know, anyway.
So where do you start? I'm gonna throw out like a scenario here with an option that either when it comes to quarterbacks, because everybody falls over for the quarterbacks, that either the NFL has gotten completely wise to itself and the overreaching for quarterbacks, or this quarterback class was ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think this particular, because we've seen it for the last decade, magical risers up the board every year, guys that jump up two and three rounds from where they're originally projected to be drafted based on nothing more than the every day that the draft gets closer, some team decides, oh God, we need a quarterback. We need this kid. This kid might be great. We can't pass him up. We can't afford. Oh my God, we have to take him. Not this year.
No.
These guys apparently are no good. And that's kind of what I was reading all this time leading up to the draft, was that this just was not a good draft class of quarterbacks at all. Like they're on the draft telecast on ESPN. They're gleefully talking about the quarterbacks for next year that are going to be eligible to be drafted. Next year is the year you want to draft a quarterback, according to those guys, not this year. And that's playing out right now there. Greeny is going crazy looking at this, I guess, ESPN draft projector tool that they had that said that whatever that kid is from Liberty that we were making fun of before, whose name still escapes me, like it was a
Is that Malik Wills?
Willis, something like that.
Willis?
Apparently, it was like a less than 1% chance, according to the ESPN draft projector, that he'd still be available now, that they just knew he was going to be taken in the first round somewhere. And here we are. The third round has started, and the quarterback just got drafted right before we came on the air by your Dirty Birds. And it wasn't Malik Wills or Malik Willis. Neither one of them got drafted.
No, it was Desmond Ridder. Okay. I don't you know, we self-admittedly, me way more than you, but I don't really watch much college football. But one thing I did know is that Cincinnati was good last year. I mean, I believe they were in the championship series, weren't they? They were in the playoff.
Yeah, they were the underdog that was up there with the big boys, with the Power Five team, the SEC teams, and there's Cincinnati undefeated and plugging along and trying to stake a claim as to be one of the big boys. And so, yeah, they were there. They were beat, but they were there.
So, yeah, and I've got the different sites up. NFL.com doesn't give you much on these guys. They let the fans grade the picks, which is the worst idea ever. Yahoo, which lets you sort by team or by round, or, you know, they're a little bit more versatile, a little bit more accessible as far as the tools. One of the nice things is what's really crazy is as soon as somebody gets drafted, there's already a grade next to the name, which is crazy.
Okay.
But one thing they do have is what they call their pre-draft rank. So it gives you like what number this person would have been ranked on, like, I guess their big board, right?
Yeah.
If you're, and this Desmond Ridder was ranked 36th overall. So to be picked at 74, that's not too bad. Value
sure,
there.
At that point, it's just, you can't really be blamed. Like, you can't say someone overreached for a quarterback in the third round.
Right.
Because it's the third round.
And, you know, for a team like Atlanta that's apparently going to, you know, they're going to roll out with Marcus Mariota, you know, to start the year. No pressure when you draft a quarterback in the third round. It's not going to be, you know, I mean, I don't know. This doesn't feel like Russell Wilson territory where, you know, Russ was a third round pick and Matt Flynn had been run out to Seattle to be their starter. Never took a snap.
For that. Right.
No, I don't that, get that, that sense here. It could happen. The Falcons are trying to be the tallest offense in the league with Cordell Patterson and Pitts and then this London kid who they drafted. That's great. When you're Marcus Mariota and you're a highly inaccurate passer, just get guys with like 14-foot wingspans.
There you go. Go gadget arms. Get a bunch of long guys.
So maybe they're playing to those strengths. You know, we're on the team where your best running back is a wide receiver and your best wide receiver is a tight end. Whatever.
What the hell? What are we doing, right? Oh, so you got the joy of looking at the NFL Network coverage of the draft this year, and I got the pain of looking at the ESPN coverage. Well, the first thing I'll say about the ESPN coverage is Boomer Berman thus far has been nowhere to be seen. So right off the bat, that's a win. That's a W for me.
Okay.
Not having to put up with that crap.
Right.
It is, you know, Greeny is bad enough. The first 20 seconds of the telecast with Mike Greenberg, good evening and welcoming us. And it's like, oh my God, I'm already out with this guy. I'm already through with him. But it could have been worse. It could have been Berman up there as well. And, so at least it wasn't that. And Adam Schefter is getting more and more irritating as the years go on to me. Seems to be more smarmy every year, more sure of his opinions and his scoops, that even if they're wrong, he's definitely sure of them. I didn't have to put up with that either. He was off at his son's college graduation, so he has not been on the telecast at all for this year. So that's good. It could have been a lot worse watching ESPN coverage. So I guess it was not new. It's not great still, but they got the one guy that knows exactly what he's talking about in Lewis Riddick. So that's great.
Yeah.
And they got Kuiper shuttled off into his cellar. I don't know if that's Kuiper not wanting to come out still.
No, no, it's because he's unvaccinated. That was that's why.
Oh, boy. Wow.
They wouldn't let him. He's unvaccinated, so I guess he had to do it from a dungeon.
Yeah, he's doing, yeah. I didn't know that they were still, because I guess I'm thinking about, you know, MLB Network just told John Smoltz, go, you know, stay home, and we're not even going to telecast you. Like, he's not on the air anymore because he's not vaccinated. So instead, of, you know, they're not letting him in the studio either, but they just kind of shunned him altogether. I didn't know people were making the decision to go with the cameras and still have people as part of their telecast if they're not vaccinated. I thought they were just, you know, completely shunning everybody. But so, yeah, I didn't know that. I had no idea. That's why Kuiper, I thought he was actually scared to, you know, still, there's still people who are like scared to come out in public because of COVID, because of the last 2 years. I didn't know if he was one of those.
I saw that come along. I saw it online, so it must be true. But yeah,
I didn't know anything about it.
He's going to be remote, apparently.
Ah.
So he phoned it in. So he I'm sure they sent a cameraman to his house and or whatever, and he was able to do his spiel. But yeah, NFL Network's broadcast, it's Eisen, and I think that's Charles Davis up there, and then Daniel Jeremiah, and I don't even know who the other guy was. it's not as good as it used to be. That used to be the best, easily the best desk for the draft coverage. I found it very stale.
Anything with crusty Mike Mayock was the best, no doubt.
Yes. Day three coverage with Mike Mayock was the best thing ever. When they were cutting to the zoo animals.
Yeah.
With the pigs and stuff. Oh, man.
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing up here. What are we doing?
And when he went on an apparently completely unscripted rant about draft grades during the draft, I was like, man, this is my guy. So
yeah, that's awesome.
The only cutaway was really, they'd cut away to Kurt Warner, but really hard to cut away to Kurt Warner, who's going to talk about quarterbacks when there was one quarterback drafted.
No one was expecting that. Everyone was expecting the overreach, as always, and two or three or four of these guys to be gone. Nobody in the second round, none of these quarterbacks went in the second round completely, and that just threw everybody off because they had all their notes ready, and they're just salivating over being able to talk about Malik Willis, whatever his name is. No, nothing yet. None of these teams are taking the bait this year. That's... You know these guys are green when none of these teams will even reach out in a second for these guys.
That's why I am of the complete opinion that this quarterback class is just complete trash, because this league loves to fall all over itself to be the smartest guys and to trade up and do all the action. And how many first-round quarterback stupid moves have we talked about on this show? And we've been doing this for, what, 10? This is our 10th or 11th draft now, probably 10. Where we've been doing it on the show, talking about the draft. And, I mean, they probably just got tired of us, you know, crapping all over their picks. These guys definitely wisened up this year.
You look down the list at these first-round quarterbacks, and that hit rate is bad. Like, it's not supposed to be, you know, around 50%, which is what it is right now. Of these quarterbacks, I should go back and do the math. And I'll consider it a hit if anyone who gets a second contract from the team that fucking draft them, that's a hit to me. If you can actually good, Baker Mayfield's not going to be a hit. No matter what you think of him, he's not getting a second deal from the Brownies. Or did they extend him already? And now they got that cap number on the books?
I believe they are trying to get out from under some money with him.
So I'm trying to remember that the original deal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they gave him money he didn't earn.
Right. So they may have already given him some money, but they didn't give him the big, like, 7-year, you know, franchise quarterback type money. The money that Joe Burrow is clearly going to get from Cincy and Justin Herbert is clearly going to get from the San Diego Clippers, that type of money. God, all these quarterbacks that have not worked out at all, that went some of them high in the first round. Mitchell Trubisky, don't remind me. There's so many of these guys that just we could tell, not just based on the highlight package, the quote unquote highlight package, but even before that, like the fact that you never heard of these guys before a month before the draft, and all of a sudden this guy has been a high riser through the mock rankings. All of a sudden he's the fifth overall pick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What did he do since he stopped playing college football to deserve to be rising up the boards like this?
Yeah, and Goff and Wentz, that came out of nowhere. Trubisky, where the Bears got tricked into trading up one spot. Yeah. I still remember texting you when that happened live, laughing at you as a Bears fan. Like, what the hell did they just do?
Yeah, it's a bad, bad hit list. It's a bad percentage.
Yeah.
And this, at least this year, all the executives, with the exception of the Steelers, are rolling back and saying, whoa, baby, no. We're not going to get fooled like that. And we're actually going to fortify our teams with needs and athletes at positions that we need to fill, mostly defense, it looks like.
But that makes complete sense, because what do we always talk about? We talk about that pendulum swing, right? And it's been all offense, all offense, all offense, and now all of these teams are loading up defensively. And it's going to switch, you know, and it goes back and forth. No matter how many rules you put in to enhance the offense, it's an elite defense will always beat a top offense.
Until you put in the MLB rule that you can only play certain defenses and you can't play you can't double team the receiver anymore. That's an illegal defense. You can't shift over there and until they go to that. You can't play zone.
Yeah, you can't overload the line. Even though we know they're running to that side, you cannot over.
Right.
Yeah, no. We can only play vanilla 4-3 defense from now on. Football hasn't gone that crazy yet. But yeah, a lot of defense. And that was what was. For what I'd heard about the draft coming into it, even going back several months into the college football season, this was a very rich, secondary linebackers, very rich draft for the back end. And these teams are loading up. I mean, I'm here in Wisconsin and people, they got to draft a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers, and they go defense in the first round. And I'm okay with that.
So am I as a Bears fan. I loved it.
And then they got a receiver on the second pick of the second day, which, 34, you're only two picks removed from the first round. So you just don't have to pay him first round slot money.
Great, because the one thing we know the Packers are doing is, boy, they're so poor. They're like the Cubs. They just don't make any money. That franchise has no idea how to make any money. They just got to save every nickel, because they're just so poor.
I think it was pretty universal. I'm sure you heard it on watching ESPN, that the day one winners were apparently the Jets.
Sure.
Or
the Giants.
And if you look at, when you load up with the pretty much consensus best corner, one of the best receivers, and the one of the consensus best edge rushers, I guess you had yourself a good day.
You did.
And then in the start of the second round, they take the best running back in the draft.
Right.
That's not a bad start for the Jets. They might finish third next year.
But they finally are getting some actual football players on their team, it seems. So, that's great.
Right.
But, again, we can't get too crazy about it because that gets into the draft grade fallacies that we have laughed at over the years. Like, you don't know if these guys are going to be any good. You think they might be, but you don't actually know.
But they look good. They look like good picks on paper. Everybody that I was, because I had to do the first hour on the radio, and then I did the last few hours at home. So I'm picking. So I didn't get to see the initial kickoff with NFL Network because I'm always driving home for the first hour of the draft.
Yeah.
And the radio crew. I don't even know who was on the radio crew. It was like this gal and then a couple other guys. They were just falling all over themselves for these Jets picks. Excuse me.
Yeah, they're good. They're good picks. They're really
highly
touted.
crapping all over the Texans when they took Derek Stingley at number 3, which then allowed the Jets to take Sauce Gardner at number 4.
Yeah, you can choose to do that, but look, the thing about Stingley was apparently he was as good as it gets a couple years ago, and whatever reason kind of fell off the table the last few years.
He was a COVID sit, and then he was hurt.
Yep, and then he got injured.
right.
So, yeah, you can crap on the pick by the Texans, but the fact is he was – you know, she showed all the traits. He showed all the ability of being a top-notch cornerback. It didn't happen last year. It happened a few years ago. But it's not like they took a guy off the street and they're, you know, it's not like a draft riser up the board because of his combine numbers and all. Oh,
right.
We didn't think he could play football very well, but he ran a 4.140, so we have to take him. It wasn't
you mean it
like
wasn't
that.
One of my favorites? I was going to mention it when we were talking about the crazy quarterback rises because it predates our show. But Mark Sanchez, who only shot up the board because of his media market ability. No, I'm not kidding. That was real.
Oh, yeah. The Sanchez. Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Jets jumped way up to draft him because – he was a good-looking guy, and he, you know, and he could help sell stuff in New York, and he'd be good for that media market, forgetting about the fact that he was a crap quarterback.
Ah, that had nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter if he can play football or not. He's attractive, and they foresaw that Rex Ryan's wife was going to have a hard-on for him and get a tattoo of him. I don't know. All sorts of stuff. Maybe they liked his feet. Yeah, they thought they were going to have a little, you know, menage a trois.
Rex Ryan liked his feet?
You never know. You never know. Yeah, that did happen. That absolutely happened. I don't know how far I'm blanking on his name, the left-hander out of USC, Leinart. I don't know how far into the first round that he launched himself for similar reasons, that he was a good-looking kid and you know, never mind that he can't really play that well, and whoever drafted him found out the hard way. I think that was
the Cardinals.
It happens.
I have those visions of Matt Leinart in a Cardinals jersey playing awful football.
Bad. Oh, was he bad? For 1 year, the football executives have learned their lessons, and they're not going crazy trying to get these quarterbacks. But it was still. So it made it even weirder almost to me watching all these deals fly around and trade a mania to jump up and beat all these other players who were not quarterbacks. Like what's the deal? I feel like Seinfeld. Now what's the deal with making all these trades and moving up to get random defenders and wide receivers?
Well, and you're closely connected to the AJ Brown trade being that that's your market down there. I was shocked. I was shocked by both of those wide receiver trades. I was shocked by the Hollywood Brown trade. Although if I'm drafting in fantasy next year, I'm moving Hollywood Brown way up on the board, getting out of the wide receiver gulag that is the Ravens wide receiver room.
I concur just because, you know, I'm a big Lamar Jackson
Hollywood
fan.
Brown.
I'm a big Hollywood Brown fan, and I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan, but he's not that good at quarterback.
But then on the opposite side, I'm moving A.J. Brown way down because now he's got Jalen Hurts throwing him the ball.
Well,
he's just not good at playing quarterback.
He's not. The Eagles are going to find out just how good he is.
Well, yeah, kid, no excuses, right? Haven't we
you
said this with some
no
other
excuses.
Guys, right? No excuses.
Man, you got A.J. fucking Brown on your team. Now, if you can't get 300 yards in a game ever with A.J. Brown on your team, then
you are truly
no good. And Devontae Smith on the other side, who you once told me was pretty good at football. If you can't get it done with those guys, you can't blame your receivers. You can't blame the scheme. You got two guys who can just go get it. A.J. Brown, that was absolutely jaw-dropping, but almost shouldn't be in this day and age of we might not have a chance to sign this particular guy long-term So let's just throw him away now and get a draft pick, get something for him. Like that's the trend now. The one superstar stud receiver that has made his trade demands known in the last week and a half since we were last on the air is the one that didn't get traded last night, which would be Deebo Samuel out in San Francisco.
My MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, your league MVP for this year. And that's going to be shocking when he gets dealt because, like, what else do you want out of your wide receiver? You know, why would – I understand they probably, you know, presented him with a new deal, and he probably was like, I'm your top receiver, and I'm also your best running back. I think I need to be paid more than this. So they probably insulted him with their offer, but – I would find it just like the Titans. I would find it very hard to deal AJ Brown. I would find it very hard to deal Deebo Samuel because I'd be so afraid to mess up in trying to draft someone to replace that production. Because if I don't replace it, now I'm 8-9, and everyone's looking at me like,
right.
"What the hell's your problem?"
Yeah, and you know, but what you didn't say is that you were shocked about the Hollywood Brown trade because he's clearly miscast in that offense.
I was surprised, but no, I wasn't shocked. I think they're looking for – yeah, you're right. It's a different offense. It's a different skill set that you need
right.
to work with Lamar Jackson, who clearly struggles with consistent deep balls and real
yeah.
consistent throws in general, really.
He needs three tight end sets. That's what he needs.
He needs possession receivers more so than home
right.
run hitters. He needs guys that can just get the ball, get the first down, and keep the chains moving, and then wait for him to take a quarterback sneak 30 yards.
Right.
And Hollywood Brown is as much as I love him as a home run hitter. Until Lamar Jackson develops more quarterback skills to take advantage of intermediate stuff, and Mark Andrews, notwithstanding. He needs to do more than that. He needs to have two or three guys that he can consistently hit underneath to open up Hollywood Brown going deep. And he hasn't been able to do that in the last couple of years. So, not totally surprised, but it still was a surprise because that's a very talented receiver.
Yeah, but now he's going to the most fun team in football in Arizona, and woo boy.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's not going to have a problem getting those balls to him.
I got both of them three of them actually in the Pro Bowl. That's my big prediction off of that I think Hollywood Brown and Nuke Hopkins and Kyler Murray all go to the Pro Bowl next year. I think they have that kind of impact with each other.
Because that's not right when you pair up Hollywood Brown with DeAndre Hopkins. Good luck.
It's unfair. Right. The other cornerbacks are looking around like, okay, who's got who? Who? I got him. You got – wait, who got – oh, shit.
You're right.
I don't want to guard either of them.
That absolutely becomes a show-me season now for Jalen Hurts, especially if this is going to be a quarterback-rich draft in 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
going to
be –
the Eagles have shown they're not afraid to make moves.
Right.
So
they'll move up and then take one of those guys
up.
Next year. No,
yeah.
No problem.
If it doesn't work out with Jalen Hurts, don't be shocked if they're moving up to take one of these top quarterbacks if this is going to be the class that they're making it sound like it's going to be next season.
All right, let's get into the first round pick by pick. My ESPN coverage of the draft and the pregame show, my thoughts on that was they opened the coverage last night, and they did it actually again tonight by rolling out Chris Angel, the illusionist / magician. Welcome
freak.
To Las Vegas. they actually
that's what they
pulled
did. That's the best they could come up with?
I guess so. What else are you going to come up with in Vegas?
Well, if you think about it, though.
Siegfried and Roy is dead.
First of all, it's ESPN. They know their audience, right?
Yeah.
So when was the last time that Chris Angel was relevant? Probably 15 or 20 years ago.
That's their core audience.
That means that they know their audience. Surprised
I
they didn't
guess.
Bring out Hootie and the Blowfish right after that.
So that was their way of welcoming him to Vegas. They actually had him on the college pregame show that aired before the draft pre-show. So there's a lot of leading up to the draft last night. They had the college game day.
No Wayne Newton?
I think he was ill. I don't think he was available.
Oh, okay. He was hanging out with Mel Kiper.
Right. They're in the dungeon. Greeny's voice introducing the show made me throw up in my mouth a little. So, it is what it is. At least it's not Berman. Shefty was off at his kid's college graduation. So that meant Chris Mortensen showing.
Oh, no,
They did. He showed up. He slurred his way through.
Was it as bad as what I've been telling you?
No, he's gotten better. He was the only insider there next to Mel Kiper. He's getting a little better. Kind of, I hate to compare it, but I was talking last show about the tough week that I'd had the last couple of weeks dealing with my wife's uncle who got very, very ill and has thankfully pulled through and is going through rehab right now. But he had a stroke years ago, actually before I met her, and he kind of slurs his way through sometimes and gets confused and whatnot. And that's kind of what Mort reminds me of, is that he's recovering, that it's a stroke. So it's not like you're going to bounce right back.
I'm immediately going to point out the difference here, that your wife's uncle is not on television in front of millions of people.
Correct.
So while it's admirable and great, especially in your case, that, he's pulling through, I don't believe your wife's uncle would have been in a position to be giving insider reports on ESPN during the NFL draft.
No, he wouldn't. But it's a similarity. It's not a perfect comparison, but it is a similarity that from year to year, it gets a little better.
Okay.
Mort is definitely not quite as bad as he was when that first happened.
Because we're not, first of all, we say this every year, we're not dunking on Mort.
No.
We have nothing but respect for Mort. He is like the OG of all of these insider guys, right? He was the insider before it was cool.
Absolutely. All respect to Mort.
So we're saying this
to the late, great
with
John
love.
Clayton while we're at it.
Right. Yes, also, because we lost John Clayton this last year.
Yes.
But, so we're not dunking on Mort. We have to put that little asterisk on it every year because it's been my duty to watch ESPN the last few years, even though last year I wasn't supposed to, but I had no choice. And I have to give my own Mort report, it seems like, every year. So that's why, see what I did there? And this year it was your turn, and you're saying it was improved. So that's good.
Yeah, it's not great. It's still cringy, a little cringy. But it is better than it used to be. Yeah, we do give that caveat of giving respect, because I think anyone who listens to us on a regular basis I think you have to come here for the disrespect. I think you have to you must be into that, because why would you listen otherwise? So you're here because we tell it like it is, and if we want to disrespect and dunk on somebody, we absolutely will. But that's not what we're doing with Mort in that case. We definitely have respect for what Mort has done. It's just anybody in that position, anybody in television, anybody. Same thing with women and their looks. When it goes, it goes. You don't want to see a wrinkly old hag on TV. It is what it is. It might be politically incorrect, but it's true. Nobody wants it. Women don't even want to see that. Come on. No one wants to hear somebody, slurring their way through reports, but it wasn't as bad. It really wasn't. So that's good.
Okay.
Greeny was joined at the desk, as I think I'd said, by Lewis Riddick, and also Booker McFarland was there. It's good analyst. Riddick, every time he comes on, we praise him
I like Lewis Riddick. That was the highlight of me having to watch ESPN the last few years, and I've been on the record with that. He was also the only highlight of that Monday Night Football booth.
Yeah, it was rough trying to listen to that that Monday Night crew, so we don't have to worry about that anymore, because now we get Joe and Troy.
Kill me now.
I know you're so looking forward to that.
Man.
We're longtime admirers of Riddick's work. Booker, what I'll say is he's much better at this than he was at trying to do color for the games. So,
he's better on the desk than he is on the booger wagon that he had going up and down. Yeah, the booger mobile going up and down the sideline.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Because Booger's got some McCarver in him when he was doing the games.
Right. Yeah, that definitely was one of his problems. Was you just that guy on the field that just made a tackle? He's big and strong.
Yeah.
Okay. No, thanks, Booger.
Yeah, he was definitely pulling his Captain Obvious bit when he was running
thanks,
up and down
Captain
on
Obvious.
The Boogermobile. So yeah, no, if he's better on the desk, I'll take your word for it.
So there's a 15-minute feel-good segment that made me change the channel right before the draft started. I think they had some woman from Ukraine out there talking about it. It's like, God, the NFL will glom onto anything.
There's no shame. I think that's
no
the word.
None. There is nothing they will not try to.
There's also no self-awareness. So not only are they shameless, they have no self-awareness because. You know, we managed to make it somewhere into the 20s of the picks, I'm pretty sure, last night before we got the rah-rah military pick.
Right.
Completely pulled me out of the broadcast. I'm assuming it was on ESPN as well.
Yes.
With the big Air Force thing. And it pulled me out of the draft. It wasn't the most exciting, but it was exciting with the trades. But as soon as they went to that, I was like, oh, I'm being propagandized right now.
Here's a reminder that we fuck the military up the ass all the time, and they suck us off all the time, and we just wanted to remind you of that once again.
Yes. Right. We're gonna have to, the circle jerk that is the NFL and the military. Thanks for reminding me, guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Las Vegas gets the early shine as Derek Carr and Darren Waller and Marcus Allen made their way out to join the commission on the stage. I think that's more of a...
I didn't hear that. I didn't see it, but I did hear it.
Yeah, more of a deflector shield because the commish going by himself is just asking for someone to basically snipe him and gun him down in the middle of the road there. They let Raiders fan Ice Cube on the stage, on the mic at one point, and that's perfect because he blew out the volumes on the microphone.
That wasn't just me.
No, that was Cube being Cube and completely blowing out the levels. And that's what you get for fucking having Ice Cube on the stage on your microphone. You deserve to have your mics blown out, you idiots. What are you doing?
I do have to say, the Raider fans stayed classy. I saw a lot of Ruggs jerseys in the crowd.
Stay classy, Las Vegas. Things cost $200.
They're
not throwing
those
away.
I caught quite a few close-ups of Raiders fans. And I'm like, wait, Ruggs the third? Oh, no.
Those things cost hundreds of dollars. They
I
are
guess,
not throwing those jerseys
I mean,
away.
Those jerseys ain't cheap.
No.
Even the replica ones aren't cheap.
That's right. Ruggs the third t-shirts probably cost $50. So Kuiper states that Aiden Hutchinson...
Wait a minute. I'm guessing if people were wearing the Ruggs jerseys, those came off the Extreme Closeout discount rack.
Hopefully they didn't buy them as soon as the tragedy happened and to show their their respect for the
showing
young man.
Showing their solidarity with Henry Ruggs.
Right.
No, I'm thinking that was on the 95% off rack at Lids.
Yeah, hopefully they're not trying to show support. Stand up for Ruggs. He's being railroaded. Free Ruggs.
Yeah. There was some poor kid. I want a Raiders jersey for Christmas, Mom and Dad.
Here, kid.
Who's Ruggs? I.
Don't worry about it. You said you wanted Raiders? It's Raiders. There you go. Wear it. Wear it proud.
Right. See? So we are going to hell.
Yes. That's what you came for. Come on. Kuiper said that Hutchinson was the number one on his board, his big board.
Yep.
And he was number one on all the big boards until about 30 seconds ago. And don't ask me what happened because I have no idea. Like this guy that wound up going number one, all of a sudden the reports started coming out in the middle of the week, Tuesday or Wednesday. So-and-so has moved to number one. He's got he's the favorite now. The odds makers are making him the favorite if you're betting the draft. And, God, if you're betting the draft, you have problems. But all of a sudden, the guy that no one never heard of was all of a sudden number one on the board, and I have no idea why. That's just one of those.
Hey, what happened?
It's usually the quarterbacks that winds up out of nowhere. This guy is number one. He's rising up the boards. This time it was this guy that wound up going number one to Jacksonville, Trayvon Walker, defensive end from Georgia.
Of five defensive players from Georgia in the first round.
The first round. That's a record. That's an all-timer. So this kid Walker gets drafted, and Greeny says he was originally projected in the mid-20s.
Oh, News flash. Breaking news. Malik Wills just got drafted.
What about Malik Willis? Did he get drafted?
Malik Willis. Is that his name?
Oh, yes.
He just got drafted by your Tennessee Titans.
Oh. Well, it took him long enough.
Is that the Tanny replacement? Is that the shot across the bow of Ryan Tannehill?
Tanny, you're on the clock.
Borrowed time.
You get the number one overall seed, and you watch this fucker go out there and throw the ball to the other team repeatedly.
I had the Titans in that game. In a game in which the Titans sacked Joe Burrow nine times.
Nine.
And they lost.
Not enough. Not enough. Should have sacked him 10 times. Either that or take the ball from him while you're sacking him 1 of the 9 times.
Oh,
that might have helped too.
How about some strip sacks?
Yeah, that might have did some good. We don't have a breaking news sounder. I need to do that on the sound drop. I need to find a breaking news button.
Yeah, I just checked back to see it. I saw you. This just happened.
Just live news, folks. The Titans have decided at the end of the third round.
Yeah.
To make Malik Willis the 86th overall pick of the draft.
So I've noticed, like, on podcasts that I listen to now, they do, like, watch parties where they basically, like, live watch and live podcast themselves watching an event. Yeah. And I'm like, we have to do that.
We do?
Sure. for some big event game or something, we should just live podcast, like, the Super Bowl or live podcast the draft and try that for do that one time.
I have no problem with that. I just remember the one and only time we tried to live stream some event. I think it was a fantasy draft and it didn't go well.
That was us in front of a computer doing picks, and we had audio issues for that one.
And concentration issues.
Well, obviously if there are connection issues, it'd be hard to do, but it would be fun to try sometime. Like maybe next year we just decide we're going to just live podcast the first round of the draft.
You'd be on the road home from work again, but
I would obviously request to be home for that. So I'll try not to live podcast the first round listening to the radio. That would not go well.
On the phone on your earpiece.
Right. But yeah, we could have had a hell of a time doing this first round yesterday.
Yeah, it was a thing. Any thoughts at all about Trayvon Walker?
The radio. I caught this on the radio. So the assessment of him on the radio was that he's worth the number one pick, but he didn't have the counting stats. Like it shows up on the tape. And they used them all over the place, but it didn't actually show up like in sacks or TFLs. But apparently he pops on the tape. That's what the people on the on the radio said. So I take no responsibility if that's not the case.
Kiper says his college sack and tackle numbers were doubled and tripled by other previous number one defenders. And Greeny said, like I said, Greeny said he was originally projected in the 20s. This is not good. This is not good for a number one pick.
Seven. So they're saying they had him seventh on their board on Yahoo. So not. Mm. I mean, it's Jacksonville. They could have drafted anybody and filled a position of need.
Pretty much. Booger said he was out of position a lot. So yeah, repeating some of the stuff you were hearing from the radio. Riddick says, "Nah, he had plenty of one-on-one chances on third down. He just didn't make it happen."
That's Lewis Riddick for you. That's why I mean, like, Lewis Riddick is, like, our new Mike Mayock.
He's the black, crusty Mayock.
He keeps it real more than anybody else on these draft coverages, because everybody else is kind of giving it to you rosy. Not Lewis Riddick. If you're trash, he'll tell you. Even if you're the number one pick in the draft, he'll tell you if you're trash.
Yeah, he said he had chances. He just didn't produce. So there you go. So Detroit, of course, takes Hutchinson, who was – number one to everybody except Jacksonville, apparently. And Hutchinson, of course, I'm sure they said on the radio, was he's the ankle-biting type that Dan Campbell's just going to love. He's all
so
grindy.
This is pretty hilarious. So this is draft grade. So Yahoo has this kid as their pre-draft rank number one.
Yep.
The Lions get him at number 2, draft grade B+.
The fuck?
If you are the consensus number 1 and you fall to number 2, wouldn't that be an A? What does it take to get an A?
Right, that's the logical question is, what could they have done right at that
there
position?
Are, that's the thing that you learn about these draft grades. There are no A's and there are no F's.
They're all B's and C's.
Right, because you don't want to be the one who gave somebody an F draft grade and then the guy makes you eat it.
And you also don't want to be the guy that gives an A and the guy's a bust.
Correct.
So at that point, what's the point of
what's
the grade?
What's the point of draft grades? I think we go through this exercise every year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But apparently this kid's the goods, is the goods, and the Lions got a steal even at number 2. That's what I had. That was my takeaway.
It's pretty much what I was hearing
then,
as well. Just,
yeah, he'll fit in perfect with the ankle biters, and
yep.
It was just nothing but glowing praise for Aiden Hutchinson. And
yep.
He stays in, and he's a Michigan kid, and he stays in Michigan.
Right. Got some hometown love going. We'll definitely get to that a little later
right.
on.
That'll get some booties in the seats. So that's what they're thinking anyways.
If you get 50 more people at a Lions game than before, then that's a good thing,
right.
I guess.
And all that, you know, but I'm going to say the same thing about the Lions that I said about the Jets. You can do all that, and yes, yay, guys, you might finish third.
Well,
I think
gotta,
the Bears are tanking
start somewhere.
This year. I think the Bears are tanking. So...
I kind of agree.
So, I mean, and the Lions had a lot of fight in them. They're not good, but they lost a lot of close games. And typically those teams that lose a lot of close games and stick together start turning some of those into W's the next season. So congratulations, Detroit. You guys are going to finish third.
I don't know. You almost sound like you're talking them up to maybe – throw some money on them making a playoff run, get that 7th seed?
No, because they're still in the division with the Packers and the Vikings, who are both better teams. Although maybe the Vikings are backsliding some, too. If the Vikings backslide enough and you've got, like, 14 wild card teams now, then, maybe the Lions could get a little surprise second-place love. They're not going to finish first.
The Houston Texans taking third. They can take almost anyone and improve the team, of course. So they go cornerback with Derek Stingley from LSU, as you were saying.
Which was a name I knew.
Yeah.
You know, but a name I knew from multiple seasons ago.
Yeah, when he was really good.
So can you be a post-hype sleeper at the number 3 pick in the draft?
That's what they're going for. It was a bit of a shocker when he got picked. That it was it was
man,
not
they
something
lost their shit on the radio.
Yeah, it was not expected. Most of his great tape is from a few years ago. He's a strange prospect in that respect. The question is, why did he fall off the last couple of years? We talked a little bit about the injury and the COVID holdout. Booker threw shade at the LSU environment. When they were trying to figure out why Stingley fell off under fired coach Ed Orgeron, Booger said there was, quote, a lot going on at LSU, unquote. So that's sort of his way of throwing throwing LSU and Orgeron under the bus and trying to blame him a little bit for that.
Trying
so.
To create a little controversy.
He's trying to do something. So the Jets have 4 and 10 and would go on to have another pick at the end of the first, of course, with all the trade mania.
They loaded up.
So they start with the other top cornerback, since he's Sauce Gardner, who allowed 8 catches all season.
Yes.
And no touchdowns
no
in his
touchdowns.
Entire career.
He gave up no touchdowns last year. That was the stat that they just kept throwing on. And they weren't talking about this when the Jets made the pick. They were talking about this all through the Texans pick. Because they're like, you passed up that guy?
That guy.
You passed
eight
up the guy who gave
year.
Up no touchdowns.
I believe in his entire career he gave up no touchdowns.
That is insane. He's going to give up a few in the NFL.
Well, it's the NFL. You should. But if he doesn't give up that many, then he's prime. Then he's Deion. And that's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Or he's Darrell Revis going back to that team.
Yeah,
Gardner Island.
And
Sauce Island?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a place to go.
Well, if you want to take advantage of
like a
room.
Beer. What are you drinking? Drinking some Sauce Island.
A good IPA from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
real rich and hoppy. I like it. His tape, we make fun of these some of these guys highlighting their tape, their quote-unquote highlight tapes.
Yeah. His highlight reel apparently is not junk.
Sauce's tape was the best I think I've seen for a DB because he was blitzing, he was making, he was tackling, he was as much as Prime is a Hall of Famer, all-time great. Prime didn't like to tackle. Like Sauce was sticking his head in there and actually making tackles.
No, you could run at Prime.
Yeah.
The teams purposely ran at Prime.
Right, because he wasn't really interested in making the tackles.
Yeah,
because
he's either doing the ole or you're embarrassing him and
right.
You're trucking him.
But no, Sauce was denying the passes. He was making the tackles. He was jumping the routes. He was doing it all. So very nice prospect there, Sauce Gardner. And if you want to give out grades, then the Jets get a high grade for. Did Yahoo give the Jets a B?
Oh, okay. Hang on. So Sauce Gardner, pre-draft rank 4. What was he drafted at?
I believe that would be 4.
4. He gets a B.
Oh my God!
I give up.
It's comedy at this point. It's just a comedy act. It's a bit, nice bit, Yahoo. It's the whole draft grade thing. That's just a nice running comedy bit. Good job out of you. The Giants at 5 just declined Danny Dimes' option, so they would love to take a thrower here, but there are no good throwers, obviously.
Right. This is
in this draft.
Is this a tank season for the Giants?
I don't know if it's a tank season. They just know that they couldn't replace their quarterback here because their quarterbacks are no good, as we all know. So they instead take a defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, who has a rep for not playing hard. So good luck with that, Giants. Based on his tape that I was seeing, he played hard enough. He was lightning fast around the edge, and that makes 5 defenders in the first 5 picks, which was a bit of a surprise. But not too much. We were talking a little bit about there might be like hardly anyone who touches the ball taken in the first like 10 picks or first 8 picks, something like that. So. But we figured maybe there'd be an O-line throw-in somewhere.
And there was.
No.
Well,
not in the first 5.
There was on the next pick.
Yes.
The next 2 picks.
The Panthers, rumored to be reaching for a quarterback at 6, decided, nah, we're not going to do that either. Instead, they take Nigerian
Once
offensive
again,
tackle.
Your quarterback
Aiken
is
Ikwonu.
Sam Darnold. And you passed up a quarterback at 6. That means that the quarterbacks in this class were trash.
Indeed. So Akem Ikwanu was number 2 on Kipe's big board, so he was excited for this
Yes,
pick.
He was also number 2 on Yahoo's board, and he goes at 6. So that's a solid B minus.
The hell with the, okay.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
You have to draft Tom Brady to get an A, I guess.
I wonder what Tom Brady's draft grade was. When he was, a 6th-round pick?
I've heard he was a 6th-round pick. I may have heard that a few times. You can get Tom Brady in the 6th round. This kid, Ikwanu, his tape, he had some oh-shit pancake blocks. Like, he was burying people. So that's what you want. You're going to take a offensive lineman, you know, the first one off the board. He better be that type of guy that goes out there and puts guys in the hospital when he goes out and blocks. And the kid apparently ran track in high school. So
that's nuts. You know what I call that? I call that B-minus talent.
Freakish athlete, run track, now you're pancaking offensive lineman. B. Yeah. By the way, congrats to Kiper, who at this point was able to show his Mel's Best Available chart with a new sponsor. Mel's Best Available at this point after the 6th pick was actually sponsored by I think some hotel chain. So that's big time. Good on you, Kype. You get money for pointing out the guys on your big board that haven't been drafted yet, which is something you're going to do anyway. So now you get actual cash in your pocket for doing that. That's the American dream, man. I'm going to sit here for 40 years and point out this guy's good, this guy's bad, this guy's good. And not only am I going to get a TV gig out of it, a steady gig, but now I'm going to get my shit sponsored. Like, that is big time. Dick Vitale isn't getting anything sponsored when he goes on TV and does whatever he does. He's, you know, my awesome baby draft picks are sponsored. That's never going to happen. Kype got his shit sponsored, so that's good on him, man.
Was Kuiper actually dropping the name of the place, or was it just on the graphic?
Yeah, he doesn't have to say it. It was just on the graphic.
Okay.
It was just plastered up there, courtyard by Marriott or something like that.
Who's like, you know what? I wanna pay money to advertise for our company, and we're going to sponsor Mel Kiper's list of best players available. That's when you know you've made it as a company.
Courtyard by Marriott apparently has enough money to burn that they can do something like that. So good for them. So the Giants at 7 keep the protection going, like you said, offensive lineman,
yep.
6 and 7. Versatile offensive tackle Evan Neal from Bama. His tape was solid, but not nearly as dominant as Ekwonu. So, yeah, we'll see. He's rated very highly. I'm sure he was ranked highly on Mel's big board, too.
Well, let's see. Yahoo had him ranked number 5 overall. He goes at number 7, so that's a B+. So it's actually a better draft grade than Ekwonu with worse tape.
And
I give up.
Picking, and better
We're
than
only
taking
seven
a guy
picks
who was
in, and I give up
two.
On these draft grades. They make no sense.
It's a comedy bit. That's all it is. At 8, you're Dirty Birds.
Yeah.
They needed to find a wide receiver to place Calvin the Gambler Ridley. So they go
and Julio, who they couldn't effectively replace last year.
Right, so really they got to replace more than one guy.
Yeah, I mean, that wide receiver room last year for Atlanta without Ridley and Julio was rough.
It was sad.
Russell Gage and
Ola Meade, the guy's name I can't pronounce.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yep.
And there was Zacchaeus or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It was bad. It was the Cordarrelle Patterson show. He was there.
Pretty much.
He was their Debo.
Yeah.
And a word quick about Debo before I get it off my head, because you were talking about Debo and his struggle and with the pay. So apparently his beef is that he doesn't like the way he's being used, but he's so attractive because of the way he was used. So go figure.
Well, so does he not want to be used that way, or does he
want
to be compensated for being used that way? Because
I don't know.
Different.
So if you are training Debo Samuel to another team, is that other team thinking we're going to use him that way? Because that's what I'd be thinking. I'm getting that.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting a beast that can.
Then he shows up on your team and he's like, "Well, I don't want to run no more." We're like, "Well, why do we trade for you?" Well, I don't know, but pay me. That's why I think he's still on the 49ers. So that's my 2 cents on Debo. It's a bit of a catch-22 situation that he's gotten himself into. Like, you're trashing the team and the coach for the way they used you, but your stock is only as high as it is because of the way they used you.
Right.
So,
whoever trades for him obviously has to sit down and have a very long conversation.
They're
going to
have that. Right, they're going to have a much longer version of the conversation that I just played out.
Yes.
But with
agents
and legalese and all that stuff that, you know, we don't have to do here.
Yeah, you don't know, and I don't know exactly what he intends to do. Does he want to never be used as a running back again, or is he going to be okay with it if you just fairly compensate him for it?
And I've still got... In my mind, I've got the Aaron Rodgers take on Debo is he'll still be on the 49ers when the season kicks off. I don't think they want to get rid of him. As much as he's going to protest, I don't see them getting what they would want in return for him.
Okay.
And it's a real ticket. You're not going to you can't trade him. You saw what happened once they started utilizing him that way. And you're going to have – apparently you're going to turn the reins over to Trey Lance, and you're just going to leave him with – wow. It's going to be really rough if you get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't think that the Packers could get rid of Devontae Adams. I wouldn't think the Chiefs could get rid of Tyreek Hill.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know anymore. So,
but that's my bold take. That's my bold take. Is that my bold takes on this show apparently are he's not going anywhere.
And I argued you down on Aaron Rodgers because I never saw a star player go back and forth with his team like that and stick around. And he's doing it. So, hey, I can't argue anymore. I cannot possibly say that Debo will or won't go because maybe he will stay. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's the hot take. My hot take is he's staying put.
Well, there you go.
Sad that we've reached a point where that's the hot take.
Well, that is. Staying put is the opposite of what's been happening in the NFL this offseason. So the Falcons decide to go Drake London.
He's big and rangy. That's what I know about Drake London.
Yep, Southern Cal jump ball specialist, and Reddick compared him to Vincent Jackson, which is a tremendous comp.
That's not a bad comp, and like I said, when you're going to have him and Pitts and Cordero Patterson, those are big dudes.
Right, just go up and get that ball. Well, however high it is over your head, just go get it. Booger actually topped Reddick's Vincent Jackson comp. Booger said he was the wet blanket on everything. He said, copying that contested college catch stuff, that means he couldn't get separation.
Oh!
And that reminded him, and you're going to really hate this, that reminded him of the Eagles taking, wait for it.
Don't say J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Oh, no. That's like the death knell.
That is the wettest of wet blankets right there.
Take that back.
Nah, Booger wanted to top Lewis Riddick's hot takes, and Booger said, no, hang on. I got one for you right here. My man can't get separation.
Watch this.
Hold my beer. Watch this. So that's Booger's take. So we'll see how it works out. They better go up and get balls if they're not going to be able to separate. That's for sure.
And Marcus Mariota's throwing you the ball.
Well, that's always that's
or
always
or whoever this kid from Cincinnati is.
Desmond Howard? No,
Gilbert.
Sam Howard. Sam Desmond Ritter, I think is his name.
Desmond Ritter. Okay, yeah. Who I had never heard of.
You've heard
that's
of him
Ritter
now.
With two D's.
Yeah, otherwise he'd be J.R. Ryder. So at 9, the Seahawks, forever looking for offensive line help, go Charles Cross, a Mississippi State offensive tackle, who graded ahead of Evan Neal per Pro Football Focus.
Well, he's got to keep Geno Smith upright.
Oh, God, Geno Smith. He looks like a home run. He's strong and long, man. His tape, he's a biggin'. So
I mean, the
Pete
Seahawks
gonna,
did not draft a quarterback. And their quarterback room is Drew Locke. And, oh, God, Geno Smith.
You know, these kids that are out there that are ass, apparently, you can get one. You can wait until about the 5th or 6th, I guess.
It looks that way.
just wait around.
Man, they'll fall right in your lap. You can actually improve your team. Quarterbacks are the running backs this year.
I guess.
Just wait around long enough. Anyway. We'll just get a guy.
Undrafted free agent. And Russ Wilson is looking around after Seattle gets this big O lineman. He's probably threw his remote when this pick was made. Like, come on, you fuckers! What the hell?
The funny, yeah. Finally, they go get an O lineman. But yeah, watching this draft, they're going
to
crap
Smith.
All over the quarterbacks in this draft, and like three of the quarterbacks from this draft are going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Man, that would be hilarious if that happened. So the Jets come back at 10, finding a weapon for Zach Wilson. They take the Ohio State wide receiver, Garrett Wilson. Riddick compared his body control going up and getting it to Lynn Swan. No pressure, kid.
Whoa.
You're the next Lynn Swan. Go get it.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I want to keep these
and
draft notes.
And crap all over it?
I don't think Booger crapped all over this one. He didn't pull out a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside comparison.
That's like a knife. That's a dagger for me. Cause,
yeah.
Man, how bad did I let him have it when I made him? Was he least valuable rookie for me that one year when he was just like, when he ghosted?
Yes.
Because his stats that season were bad.
Yeah, I want to keep these draft notes and keep up with these rookies and some of these comps to see how accurate these were. Because that's – when you say Lynn Swann, what the hell? Like, what kind of pressure are you putting on him? So now 11, and here comes Trade-a-mania. It's unbelievable. Just every pick from here on out almost in the first round felt like a trade. So the Saints trade up to 11 to get a weapon to – help out or replace Mike Thomas if he doesn't come back and do what he's supposed to do at wide receiver.
Right.
They take another Ohio State receiver back-to-back. They go Chris Olave. Serious nose for the end zone. This kid, all his highlights were house calls, all of them. Every last one of them, touchdown. And you love that. You got to love that in a pass catcher, that he likes to go to the house. So I like that for the Saints. As a Saints fan, I'm happy for that. The Lions then decided to go up to 12. This is where some of the quarterback speculation started. A lot of these teams that trade up, they need quarterbacks. They must be going to get one of these kids. No, the kids are ass. They're not going for these kids. The Lions go up to 12 to snatch another receiver. Bama's Jameson Williams, who limped around to find the stage, so he's clearly not playing football anytime soon.
He tore his
ACL in the national title.
He tore his ACL in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So,
he was. They said he was clocked at 23 miles an hour in practice, and that's not in a car. That's just him running.
Oh, no Henry Ruggs action here.
No. That would be 223, I think. So, no, he's a different animal when he's healthy. Of course, it's an ACL, so will he come back and
right. So
minus be quite that
the injury,
fast?
What I was gathering from NFL Network, minus the injury, this was the best receiver prospect in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, that he was going to be the first off the board. Kiper kept calling him unguardable. He just kept using that word every time he was talking about it. The kid is unguardable. And that'll be tested now that his quarterback is Jared Goff. Then the Eagles come in and move up to 13. And we didn't think that was for a quarterback either. You know, whatever you think of Hurts, it's a little early to be replacing him.
Right.
So Riddick thought they were working up for this kid Williams and got caught and got surprised and jumped by the Lions. that might have been one of those deals. They take this big defensive tackle, Jordan Davis from Georgia, ran a 4.78 40 at 341 pounds, which is like,
right,
oh, my God.
There.
It's your guy.
My guy.
You love the red stripe suit, T.
Red stripe. It's Mirror. Red Mirror.
That's your guy.
Did you go pull that just for me?
Yes, I had.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So he's a fabulous athlete with a big
red stripe
on his suit.
It's too bad he plays nose tackle because that drop probably won't get used too much. But anytime he does something good, you got to pull that out.
So that's his job. Jordan Davis, you have your own drop on our show. If nothing else, so that's good. I don't know if they wanted to jump up for that necessarily, but he's a freak, so maybe they were targeting him the whole time. Maybe, you know, Fletcher Cox replacement, something like that. So
yeah,
so they do make that move. The Ravens come at 14, and I think that was their spot. They didn't trade up for that. They get a hammer at safety in Kyle Hamilton. That was some great tape to see. That kid, he showed some unreal instinct to get to the ball and make plays from sideline to sideline. That's perfect for John Harbaugh.
Well,
that right here we go. Just right off the bat, replenish, restock.
Yeah.
Get that defense back to what it's supposed to be. I have all the confidence that the Ravens are going to be right back at the top next year.
Here's your new Ed Reed, right?
There you go.
First of all, two things. He went to Notre Dame, so I automatically hate him.
Of course.
And he was the Yahoo number 3 pre-draft rank.
Damn.
And any guess on this grade?
B+.
A.
Oh, that they gave an A.
The first A.
they must really think he's going to be the goods, because they put their – how many A's did they give out?
This was the second A so far of the day, although this was the first pure A. Jameson Williams for the Lions was an A-.
Oh.
But this was the first A grade that they gave out.
So you know he's got to be something, because they don't give those out.
Right. So they think he's the goods.
Yeah, they really think he's the goods. So good. I'm glad they think that highly, because I'm a big Ravens fan, and I think he's going to fit right in and help replenish that defense that was so beat up last year. My God, every friggin' player they had got hurt, it felt like.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, we definitely give a lot of props on this show to the Ravens. And while I don't consider myself, I'm not a fan of the team, I'm a fan of the way they operate.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a professional organization, and you have to admire what they do. I mean, they have a professional coach, and they have a plan, and they have a scheme, and, you know, and it's like it hurts to watch them suffer and do bad, because you just kind of admire, like, the grit. Because even when they're bad, they're still in games,
They still fight you.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing it with, the backup kid. Was that Huntley?
Oh, yeah, Snoop Huntley.
I mean, they were fighting with him. So, yeah, I always admire what the Ravens do. And, they just go and get the best safety in the draft.
Yep. It's someone to knock your ass out. So it's perfect for them. Houston at 15, offensive lineman Kenyon Green from Texas A&M to thundering silence.
Yes. Yeah, even Yahoo gave him a C- for that one.
Oh, damn.
That's about as bad as it gets, because I'm finding out that C- is like F.
Are there any D's at all?
I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah, that's about as low as it's going to get. Okay. Then the potato skin commander football team at 16. Wide receiver kick returner from Penn State, Jahan Dotson. Looks like he'll make some explosive plays before Carson Wentz throws him a hospital ball and gets him knocked out. So, best of luck to him for the few games he'll be able to be on the field.
He's going to get Will Fullard.
Yes. Yes. That's my bold prediction.
He'll have one catch for 70 yards, a touchdown, out for the season.
There you go. Chargers at 17, Zion Johnson, offensive line from Boston College. Just some protection for Justin Herbert.
You got to keep Justin Herbert upright.
That's it. That's all you got to do. The Titans jump up to go to 18.
This is where the fun begins.
And in the process.
Did we already have the Hollywood? Was Kyle Hamilton the Hollywood Brown pick?
No, they were, I don't think. Let's see, 14. They were, I think 14 was where they were supposed to be.
That was their slot? That would make sense, because they weren't very good.
Right.
Okay.
So now Tennessee making the move to 18 and in the process dealing A.J. Brown, which was just the shocker of the night. I could not believe they did that.
I was stunned. We're texting each other back and forth on that one. So
that was a stunner. So they move in, but here's the deal: they replace him with this kid from Arkansas, Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks, which is funny because on NFL Network they go to Daniel Jeremiah? He's their draft guy, and he does all the player comps. So Treylon Burks' player comp was A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm. He looked like a giant
drafted, A.J. Right. They just saved $100 million. That's what they did.
If he turns out to be as productive as A.J. Brown.
Right.
Yeah,
so you just got Treylon Burks and $100 million.
Okay.
You can't
Perfect.
Lose.
Right.
And Malik Willis.
It all works perfectly if everything goes to plan. That's the key. If everything goes to plan, same thing on ESPN. They were saying that he's basically an AJ Brown replacement or clone. His hands are so big, he needed special gloves made, so that's kind of scary. He certainly looks like a giant AJ clone. Booger called him a younger version of AJ Brown, and he also compared him to Debo. So, yeah, lofty standards, kid. You got a lot to live up to.
Right, so it's not like that. So this was not a pick that seemed like it got trashed. A lot of people were like, well, of course they did that. You know, they traded the player, got a younger, cheaper version of that player, but it's just such a wash at that point.
Well, it's a risk. As far as I'm concerned, it's a big risk. You have no idea this kid's going to be as productive as A.J.
Right.
Brown. Like, that's the thing. There's you get a productive – that's the thing with Debo and Cheetah Hill and Devontae Adams. You work so hard to develop and find these guys that you can turn into productive targets and productive, consistent targets and actual guys you can depend on. And then you say, oh, you actually want to be compensated like that? No, we're going to throw you away.
Right.
We're gonna bring
and
in
don't
some
forget,
other kid.
Who's throwing him the ball? Tanny's throwing him the ball.
For now. Unless they develop this Malik kid and have him throw him the ball. Yeah. Yeah, Tanny was throwing A.J. Brown the ball, too, and A.J. just made it happen anyway because that's how good he is. That's my point. You had a guy that made Tannehill a productive quarterback just by sheer playmaking ability, and you're taking the chance.
Will.
Yeah, and you're taking the chance that this guy's going to be able to do the same thing. Okay, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have had the stones to do it. I guess I couldn't be a GM in the NFL these days because they're making all these bold moves, and I just don't understand it. 19, the Saints offensive line, Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa. Kuiper said he's a penalty machine. That's not a good sign.
Oh, no.
Kuiper said he's going to make a ton of penalties in the NFL, and he made a
Yahoo
ton in
right
college.
Says he's penalty prone.
Well, best of luck with that.
That's Stan Thomas territory.
I was about to say, I don't know if you
necessarily want to... That's not a good comp, is it?
That's definitely not a good comp. I was going to do better than Stan Thomas, but still penalty prone. I was going to say, do you want to draft the next Richie Incognito? Because he's very good at
with less
protection.
Racism.
Well, hopefully, if you do it right. Incognito is very good at what he does. He's also very penalty prone. So
yeah, he's a little handsy.
Just a bit. So you take the good with the bad, I suppose.
That's why I always remember Stan Thomas.
Oh my God, holding 79 offense. Next play, holding 79.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
It's now second and 53.
And they're just going to give up and run the play. Oh, there's another flag. Holding, 79. Oh, yeah, that's a walking penalty right there. So then the Steelers. Here we go with the Steelers at 20. Expected to reach for a quarterback this entire time. But most people thought they were going to reach for the athletic black kid because it's Mike Tomlin. And, of course, he's going to want the kid that runs around and makes plays. And then, they're going to go with the hometown kid, Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, they went with the stand-up, you know where he's going to be, just stand in the pocket and sling the ball.
Good luck. He was so overcome with emotion. Were you home by this point? Were you watching this?
I was.
Okay. So they showed him, obviously.
He was
at his
house. Yeah, he was at his house.
Couldn't put his face up. He was so overcome. The entire time they're talking about him, his face is buried in his hands. He's just so happy to be drafted by the Steelers, or so sad. I don't know. It might be one of those.
The first quarterback, and it's at 20.
Right. All these years of these guys going 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the first one goes at 20. That should tell you. That should tell you something. And not even necessarily the kid that was thought to be the guy at 20.
Right, because the Steelers, at this point, if you've made up your mind, we're getting a quarterback, they're all there.
They sure are, and you have your pick.
You get your pick. Which quarterback do you want to replace Roethlisberger? And they went with this kid. So Okay.
But what does it say about this Malik guy that he was rumored to be here and they pass on him and then everyone else passes on him a couple more times after that? Like, wow.
Yeah, so Yahoo had this kid's pre-draft grade at 31. So, you know, they still had him going as with a first-round number.
He still had him as one of the best 32 players in the draft.
Right, and they gave it a B, so.
There you go. Greeny immediately talked about how the kid has small hands. Like, he's got the smallest hands in the league already, right now, just – right, immediately he's got the smallest hands of any quarterback in the league.
Wait, the smallest? Or
I believe the smallest of all the starting quarterbacks in the league.
Is this Dave Craig territory?
I think so. I believe so. So he's going to hear about this from day one until he goes to play in the Arena League in 5 years. He's never going to stop hearing about his small hands. Kuiper points out the guy is 24. He's already 24 years old. He's old.
Wow.
He's got little hands. And so you don't have to wonder why he lasted to 20. The wonder is why he got drafted in the first round at all. And I think it's because it was Pittsburgh.
That's kind of weird, because first of all, if you're that great, you wouldn't be this old. You'd already be pro.
You've already been drafted, yes.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Kenny
Pickett,
ladies and gentlemen.
Bryce is in witness protection, so we're not going to get any assessment from him until the Steelers win a few games in a row.
I'd love to hear his assessment, though. Bryce, if you're listening, if you ever want to chime in and let us know your thoughts, because it was, you know, just like last year when we had Renard and Cass on, our thoughts of the in the aftermath of drafting Justin Fields. I'm sure Bryce had some thoughts and some words.
I thought you were going to talk about was it Joe, the Jets fan? Was that Joe? I forget his name.
Oh, in Jersey.
Lou.
Lou in Jersey.
Lou, the Jets fan. You know, even he had those early in the season. He had those rose-colored Jets glasses on. You know. And then by about week 8, week 9, it turned out those were like beer goggles because he went south on the Jets pretty quick. But man, you know, but Bryce finds he finds the good in everything the Steelers do. So,
So you think he would like this pick?
Oh yeah, he'd have the passion for it. He'd break this down for us. He's probably watching tapes. He probably would have told us how great. If they didn't make this pick, he would have told us about how he was after, you know, Trubisky's going to be really good. He never got a fair shake under Matt Nagy, and you know, which I partly also believe is probably true about Mitch Trubisky. Is like, do we really know how good Mitch Trubisky is?
No, I'm afraid I think that's true as well. No, Bryce probably has the college tape of the kid, University of Pittsburgh, so he's probably been watching him from day one, and yeah, so it all works out. Same training building, just goes in one direction instead of the other. Everything in house. We've always heard about through the years, you don't necessarily want to take like the big hometown star, because there's a lot of different pressures that come with that. You got more pressure because you got family at every game guaranteed. You got friends that want to, you know, a free ticket. You got to hook them up for 8 home dates or 9, as it turns out. You got, you know, the one girlfriend that's, you know, that you, now that you're a big star, but you got the high school girlfriend that's still in town that before you were a star, and you got the girl before her, and you got all that, that drama to deal with. So, all this is to say, it doesn't look like this is going to work out. Like I said, he's going to be in the Arena League in 5 years, I think. But best of luck. I mean, I've been wrong many times before, so we'll see.
Yeah, and again, this is the Steelers. They haven't been in rebuild mode. Well, they probably should have been in rebuild mode in the last couple of years, but they clung to Roethlisberger and the last rodeo of his, you know, career. It's hard to let go, right? And they probably should have let go a couple of seasons ago. So the Steelers are in rebuild mode. They're in a division with 3 teams that are better than they are on paper. you know, with the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals. So yes, they're going to finish last, I would suspect.
Before our after show comes, we're coming up on the end of our 90 minutes live. We got the last few picks, last 10 picks of the first round to talk about. If you want to listen to the rest of our show after we leave the air live, you have to subscribe to our podcast. Go to Apple, iTunes, and subscribe to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, or go to wherever you listen to your favorite podcast and subscribe to our show, and you'll get this entire show, this live show, and our after show all downloaded straight to you once we are done. And we thank all of you for listening live here at blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you enjoy the way that we do things, because this is how we do. And we are indeed coming up on, it will be our 10th year of the podcast when things circle back around to start the season. So if you can believe that, 10 years of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. How the time flies, huh?
On top of another 2 or 3 years of the blog.
Where we used to do a lot of writing back when we had time for that type of stuff.
Yeah, but this is our writing now. Now it's committed to, you know, this is way, way, way more than what we could type out.
Yep, all of our thoughts. We get all of them, all of our thoughts in, all of our stuff, and even get some cut off in addition to that. But, yeah, we that basically is our blog.
It's a stream of consciousness.
That's why Blog Talk Radio is a perfect title for the website, because it really is as if we're a talking blog. So, I think that fits perfectly. So we will continue our talk, and like I said, the live show will cut off at the in about 3 minutes, but we will keep going, and you'll hear the entire show and the after show on our podcast version. So 21 goes to Kansas City, and they move on up on this wild night. They decide to trade up and get to 21, and you're thinking, okay, they got to replace Tyreek Hill. They got to find, they traded up for a cornerback, Trent McDuffie. More of a speedy body slammer type guy than a shutdown corner from what I was seeing on his tape. This is the funniest thing of the night was, did they show his household when he got drafted? Did you see that?
I don't remember.
It probably didn't stand out. I happened to see out the corner of my eye. This just struck me as funny. This is my sense of humor. So his household erupts in joy. He's at home. He's not at the draft. Like, everybody is happy. There's got to be about 50 people, it looked like, in that shot. Just joy and laughing and jumping up and down, and everyone is thrilled. There are two women at the front of the screen, and they're both holding children. One is holding a child.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
One's holding a child not that small, maybe about two or three-year-old.
Of the year.
Not that small. That baby seemed to still be pretty happy and you know, having a good time. Another woman is holding a child that's like a baby, like a really tiny, like 4, 5, 6 month old looking baby. That baby was the most hard, disappointed, crying her eyes out, or his eyes. I don't know if it was a boy or girl. That baby, the juxtaposition was just hilarious to me. I was laughing so hard. Like, the entire house, the entire neighborhood, it felt like, was having a great time and so happy about the pick and screaming, and this baby is just could not be, did not want to be anywhere. Wanted to be anywhere in the world other than where she was right then and there. Just struck me as hilarious.
Speaking baby, as I do, that means that they're either hungry or they're tired or they shit themselves. That's about it.
I thought it was option four. That this is too loud. Don't know.
This
what's
was
going
a bad
on.
Draft pick. That kid does not like Kansas City.
I just thought it was just so loud, just noise, because it reminded me of when you see a baby at a baseball game or
the
something.
The baby was a Raiders fan. Maybe that's what it is.
That's where the Henry Ruggs baby jerseys are going. No, that you, when you see a kid at a ball game and everyone is happy and, yeah. and having a good time, and the baby is the only one that's not having a good time, nah, because it's just
too much
noise.
I was more focused on
the
other kid who I thought was getting the case of the shaken baby syndrome. Because it took that kid a few shakes to kind of warm up to the excitement.
No, it was throwing babies in the air and having a great time. No, it looked like something out of a old 50s wrestling match where everyone is going nuts and throwing kids up in the air and that was hilarious to me. Let's see, Kansas City and then Green Bay at 22. They haven't moved anywhere, so they're
it's
in
all
perfect
the drama.
Position.
Will they draft a wide receiver? And even the guys on NFL Network are going, no, they're not. There's nobody left. Like they kept saying on that, like there's no value at 22 there for a receiver. So that would have required the Packers to make a massive reach, and this is it's not a team that usually goes out of its way to massively reach, according to what they were saying. So they stuck to their board, I'm guessing.
Interesting you use that word reach, because the ESPN telecast was more on my viewpoint of you got to get a receiver. This is where you are, is 22, and there are plenty of receivers still out there, so you might as well take one. And nope, they don't even bother to take a linebacker, Quay Walker from Georgia. Kuiper called him a slight reach.
Uh-oh.
Wound up reaching anyway. So I guess they were going to reach one way or the other. Buffalo then trades up two spots to get cornerback Kair Elam from Florida. I hate that. No reason to throw away a fourth-round pick just to jump Dallas for this kid. Like, there's nothing about this kid that indicated to me that you just had to jump up and take him. And I didn't understand that. He seems to be just a guy. Kuiper called him grabby. Riddick called him panicky. You make a move on him and he starts panicking and grabbing for you out there. So that probably not a guy you really want to jump up and trade up to get. So
and Yahoo said this was a slight reach.
Yeah. So nobody likes it. So now that kid is going to be a Pro Bowler. He's going to be a Kair Elam. He's going to be an all.
Oh, and here it is. Elam has some playmaking chops, but can be handsy in coverage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here we go. Pass interference on Kair Elam.
He's Lemuel Stinson.
Oh no! Oh no!
That's not a good comp, is it?
Toast.
Yeah, actually, Stinson never even got his hands on people. They were just gone.
He was just burned. Oh,
you
that is definitely not a good comp.
Close enough to grab him.
Oh, no. Well, best of luck. The Cowboys taking offensive linemen, because that's what they like to do. Tyler Smith out of Tulsa.
That's their move.
Kuiper creams his pants at this point because he finally hit on a mock draft pick. This is apparently what he had at 24 for the Cowboys was Tyler Smith. So he finally got one right in his mock draft. That's all that Kuiper cared about. He finally got one right. So nothing else mattered at that point. Ravens at 25 go center Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa.
That's a very Ravens pick, isn't it?
Yep, certainly. Just keep building. Just keep building that interior. Just build from inside out. Another trade, and the Jets move into 26.
But I do like the write-up on this Linderbaum kid here about the Ravens. The last lines of this write-up say, the Ravens don't care if you know their plans. They get good players one way or another.
If this is what we're going to do, and no one's going to stop us.
Right.
That's it.
That's what I mean. They're professional. Yeah. Oregon is probably, I don't want to go out on a limb and say they might be the best run organization in football, but they're top three. And I'd be hard pressed to pick the other two at this moment, so they might be the best one.
They're extremely solid. They're very solidly run. There's no doubt about that.
Quarterback to progress.
Yeah. You can perfectly contrast them to, the Cowboys, who are clearly not very well run.
And then you lead into Jermaine Johnson here at 26 for the Jets that is another A for Yahoo.
Oh.
Is another just straight up A.
Huh. Yeah, the Jets move into 26 to get the falling defensive end from Florida State, Jermaine Johnson. His film looks great. He got around the edge in a very swift manner. Man, he was like a blur. So, yeah, I'm not sure why he went down the ladder there, but he was ready. He was
number
eight
in
the nines and
on Yahoo's player rank.
And gets taken 26. Yeah, I guess that is an A, isn't it? Like,
by the way Yahoo's been doing it, that would be a C-. That's why I know. I give up.
No rhyme, no reason. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, great night for the Jets. Hopefully they all work out. And yet another trade at 27 as the Jags jump in to take linebacker Devin Lloyd from Utah. Riddick compared his speed and instinct to Darius Leonard.
Wow. That's,
like, damn. And Booger sees,
comp.
Yeah, Booger sees some Micah Parsons in him. So there's another solid comp.
I'll see your Darius Leonard and raise you a Micah Parsons.
Yeah. He looked to kill Goodell with his leaping bear hug. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was. I wasn't sure if Goodell was going to end up paralyzed after that.
I didn't know he was going to survive it either. It looked,
or if they were going to start playing some like the theme from Titanic or something, you know, and put that in slow-mo.
I thought it was going to be like an Andre the Giant situation. Like, he just picks him up and Goodell just starts tapping. Like, I give. I'm done.
He just throws it. He just goes belly to belly suplex on him.
Man, he picked him all the way up. He lifted him off the ground. So I love him just for that. Just for trying to kill Roger Goodell. I'm always in favor of that. 28 Packers. Another chance to help Aaron Rodgers. Not going to do it. Go back to Georgia for a defensive tackle. Devontae Wyatt. Just refuse it. Man, look, fellas, look at your women the way the Packers organization looks at players that are not wide receivers, because they refuse to draft wide receivers. Like you said, they wound up getting one tonight in the second round. But at this point, like, everybody was panning the Packers at the end of the night because they had two chances to replace Devontae Adams and didn't. And just chose to go on the defensive side. It's just like, why do they not want to ever draft a wide receiver, and especially now when you've got, like, the guys that are left, like, you know, the Alan Lazars and people like that, like, those guys aren't any good. They obviously need somebody to step in and be a number one for Aaron Rodgers, and they probably need someone else to step in and be a number two, because I don't think – you got a number two receiver on that roster right now.
Yeah, it's what, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers. It's not deep.
Yeah, Cobb is 80 years old.
Right.
Rodgers
and
Lazard.
He's
purely
a slot possession type guy, and he didn't even end up on the field in a lot of critical situations, or he just ghosted.
Yep. So it was just very strange that they had chances and just refused to get anybody. But they did come back tonight. New England at 29. This was the most puzzling of first round pick by all the experts. Cole Strange, a guard from Chattanooga, that everyone said was going to probably be available in the second or third round, even.
Yes, Yahoo had him ranked 91.
Man.
And they said that this pick screams poor value.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very little here that's, and even his write-up is bad, but it's a C-. So it's an F.
Right. Basically.
I still have not seen a D yet. Now, how do you not? They just trashed this kid. Patriots jumped like three rounds too high to pick him, but C-.
Under what circumstances using your 29th pick to take someone who was 91st on your board, how is that not an F?
Or even a D? Right. Somebody? Anybody?
Bueller?
Man.
It got an audible groan from Greeny when this pick was made. That's how bad it was.
Oh!
Like an audible, oh! Like that, like what?
Wow.
if they were in a bar, if they weren't on TV, that would have got a what the fuck, like all around. Everybody, what the fuck? What?
I mean, I believe this is the first draft pick on Yahoo's board where they don't even have a picture for the kid. He's just got the gray silhouette.
He's a shadow. They picked a shadow in the first round.
Yeah. And then don't worry. The Chiefs did it on their next pick.
George Karlaftis.
Back-to-back shadow guys. No, they don't even have a picture of him.
Defensive end from Purdue. Kuiper talked about this guy's short arms and big motor. So there you go. He's got a lot of heart. He makes a lot of plays, but he's got little arms apparently. That's George Karlaftis. Cincinnati at 31, Daxton Hill, a DB from Michigan. The only comparable no-brainer to Green Bay needs wide receivers in the draft was the Bengals need O-linemen to protect Joe Burrow because he gets killed every game.
And let's go get a safety.
So they get a safety from Michigan. What? I give up on the whole thing. I don't understand any of these picks, quite frankly. And then the Vikings finish it off at 32. Lewis Seen, a DB from Georgia. So five defenders from Georgia, as you already said, in the first round. That's a record, of course.
And this was an A. The Vikings got an A grade from Yahoo for this one.
Okay. That's good. And Kuiper only cared about getting credit for taking him at 32, even though he had him for Detroit and Minnesota traded up to 32.
Wow. So Kuiper, who's paid to do this, hit on two?
And one and a half.
And one of
really.
Them didn't even go to the team that he had him going to.
Exactly. But he still wanted credit. He audibly called out Todd McShay saying, he's not going to give me credit for this, I know, but I still want credit. So just deliver me from Kuiper talking about his big board and wanting credit for his mock draft.
Yeah.
That was but insufferable.
The Packers do get their receiver second pick of the second round. So they traded their two later picks for a receiver. So second pick of day two.
Traded up to 34 to finally get a wideout. North Dakota State, long and fast and green. So good luck with that, Aaron.
It says here he's big, strong, springy, and has high character. The bad part, he's got the dropsies.
Oh, that's exactly what Aaron Rodgers needs. Is a
he
guy
had a lot in college,
ball.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't like drops. You know? He's got all offseason to work with Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, at least in mini camps. Work on those hands, kid. You know, maybe you could be like, do what Jamar Chase did and just look like trash in the preseason.
Oh, the Packers hope that's how it goes. Oh, are they hoping?
Yeah, and then, it's Titans take a quarter. And then, the first running back off the board. Then goes to the Jets at 36, I believe. Another A pick. So that's why I just like the Jets just keep getting – the Jets are stacking up A's. That's all I'm going to say.
They're winning the draft.
They are they're definitely winning the paper draft.
That's I guess that's all you can do. If you get that many high picks and all you can do is make the right – pick or the value pick at the right time, and so they're winning the draft. Breece Hall of Iowa State goes 36 to the Jets. They talked about him replacing David Montgomery at Iowa State and sort of taking over and being the all around back. And his tape was really good. It showed him making a lot of catches as well out of the backfield. So he's going to be one of those types to. You don't have to take him out on third down because he's going to be a target as well. So that's definitely something Zach Wilson needs to have. He's going to be a lot of check downs from Zach.
I'm just scrolling through the looks like the third round is it over? It's over.
Okay.
So tonight it would be done and no grades lower than a C-. So C- is your F for
of
Yahoo.
Course. Naturally.
And very small number of legit A's. A lot of A-, very few straight A's. Tennessee got an A- for Malik Willis.
They should. The guy was projected to be in the first round.
He was
third. There,
he had 28th pre-draft rank. So.
Yeah, so they should get a high grade for that.
Their comp for him was Steve McNair. Hopefully with a happier ending.
The alive version or the guy that's now no longer
Yeah, stay away from girlfriends and couches.
Especially if you're married. Well,
yeah.
You know
I
what?
Do.
Stay away from crazy women, period. Like every now and then somebody
That's good advice.
Somebody at work tells a story of some woman that was doing something crazy, and it reminds me to go home afterwards and thank my wife for not being one of those. Yeah, every now and then you get reminded of the single days, and you remember them too. And ooh, boy, a lot of landmines out there. Just put it that way.
Yeah, the third round only had one legit A grade, and that was the Colts taking a tackle. It's Bernard Rahlman. Who is apparently the 34th highest player on their board.
Okay.
So apparently he goes to Indy. Just what they need, more linemen.
Right.
Because, you know, it's the only thing Indy does is run block. At least they don't have to run block for Carson Wentz anymore. Now they get to run block for Matt Ryan. Or pass block for Matt Ryan, who will still take the soul-crushing third-down sack.
At least he's got better surrounding talent around him. That's obviously the best running back he's ever going to play with, so that's something.
Yeah. I mean, he had a nice little backfield when he had Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And that wasn't a terrible backfield, but neither one of them were as good. They were good. They were a good tandem, but they were not as good as what Jonathan Taylor can bring.
No, and those are teams that relied on Matt Ryan in the past, and now that he's in that stage of his career that you can't rely on him for the past, he needs somebody like a Jonathan Taylor to be the bell cow.
Yeah, it strikes me as a season. I think you'll see Matt Ryan, like his yards per attempt will probably tick up because I think he's going to be suited to more play action.
But that's because it drops so low. His yards per attempt used to be, you know, near the top of the league.
That MVP season, I mean, what was it, 9?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, it was 9. It was over 10 for a huge chunk of that season.
But a regular season for him was covering around 8. And
right.
Last year definitely fell off a cliff with that.
Yeah, I'm actually now I'm curious to actually see.
Well, I can.
Matt Ryan's yards, 6.5.
Yeah.
Last year, that is not elite.
That is subpar.
His career yards per attempt is 7.5. That's not trash for a career.
Not at all.
But that's also with the last 3 years that number has declined.
Definitely
it says that last year, 2021, his yards per attempt were 7.1 is what it was last year.
Okay.
So not the worst, but 9.3 in his MVP season.
Whew.
Yards. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Basically a first down every throw.
Yeah.
Just about.
I mean, we marveled at that whole season, so we gave him his shine when he deserved it. It's definitely a deteriorating skill set.
Any thought on the Falcons trading up to 38, where people were, they're going to get the next Michael Vick, they're going to get Malik Willis?
No, they got a rusher, which I'm okay with, because that is a team that does not sack the quarterback.
Okay, well, so that's a good pick then. Arnold
Arnold. Good job, Arnie.
Go get him, Arnold.
It looks like that was a pick that went from Carolina to the Jets to the Giants to the Falcons. That's That's how much everybody had to have the 38th pick in the draft.
That's how much trading has been going on.
Yeah, that one was actually rated fairly well too. I saw when I was going through this. We didn't talk too much about like round two, other than the top of the round. But yeah, Atlanta they got a B+ on that one.
Okay.
They pretty much picked him right at the pre-draft kind of slot. So.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to mention.
Yahoo said it was one of their favorite pass rushers left on the board. He easily could have gone in round one. A strong pick. B+.
Okay.
And Atlanta, anything Atlanta can do to generate a pass rush. They have not had a pass rush in how long in Atlanta? A long time.
But whatever year that was that before Tack McKinley got there, I guess.
Oof. But even when they were drafting, was it Vic Beasley never panned out?
Yeah.
You know, so they've tried, so we'll see. But, yeah, you know, that's a team, again, though, you know their deficiency is defense, and what do they do at number 8? They draft a wide receiver. That's no different than when the Packers blew them out in the division round, and the Falcons decided we're going to mortgage our next, like, 5 years of drafts to get a wide receiver after we just gave up 40 burgers in the playoffs.
Was that when they got Julio?
Yeah, that was when they got Julio. They paid a lot to get Julio.
Yeah, they did, and it was worth it.
He's a hofer, yeah. You know. But they did pay a massive haul to get him, and they needed defense. I wasn't a fan of the pick at the time. I mean, obviously, I massively enjoyed watching Julio Jones play for them and almost win them a Super Bowl. And had they pulled that game out, that catch that he made that would have put them in field goal position at the end of that game would be remembered as one of those greatest catches in Super Bowl history. But now we just remember it as it was a nice catch.
All right, let's make sure we get the credit sorted out there. Whatever you think of that trade, it got them a player that is a hofer and had them was a key part of a 28-3 lead in a Super Bowl and should have won a title.
They should have won a title.
And everything you do is trying to win a title, and they basically put together the deal to get a guy that basically helped them win a title, except the defense blew a 28-3 lead.
Yeah. So. Well, what, the defense blew it? You mean they could have used an extra okay. Just saying.
And I'm just saying, they don't get to 28-3 if they don't have Julio Jones. I promise you, they don't even get to the Super Bowl if they don't have Julio Jones.
No, that was Kyle Shanahan season.
Yeah,
he kind of knows what he's doing offensively.
I guess apparently.
Oh, that's
the only. What? The only couple second round observations that I had was that one for
Bears
you.
Your Bears actually made a pick in the second round.
And I've got a couple of they made a couple of picks.
Yeah.
There was another Atlanta pick. Troy Anderson was a linebacker at the end of the second round. He also played quarterback and running back at Montana State.
Yeah, I saw
that. So trick plays are in their future.
They might now. They'll put him in the backfield with Cordero Patterson. Your best linebacker
coming.
Is also a running back. This team just, this is the go-go gadget team.
You don't know what's going to happen. He might run the ball, or he might sack you. You don't know.
And your quarterback is also your running back.
It might turn into the wide receiver. So I guess versatility is what they're going for. Yeah, as far as
I bet you, I guarantee you he'll be the emergency quarterback.
the backup linebacker.
Yeah.
As far as my Bears picks, 39, their first pick of the draft. They didn't have any first-round picks. So they go with a Washington cornerback, Kyler Gordon. He seemed to initially have no reaction when he got drafted, which was weird. That might have been a bad connection at his house. Actually, he was there. He was at the draft. I'm sorry. He was in the room. He was there in the building and looked like he was in the green room or something. And it looked like everyone around him is congratulating and slapping it, and he's just kind of standing there with this blank look on his face. It was very weird. So I don't know what happened. But eventually he kind of snapped out. He went into a trance, or maybe he was high. I have no idea. The tape was good. It was physical, but he didn't exactly have blazing speed. So he looks like he's going to be one of those guys that kind of, you know, lays the wood, but you don't exactly want him to try to cover somebody, you know, going deep down the sideline.
So. Right. So this sounds like a kid who gets drafted as a corner, but 3-4 years down the road, he's a safety.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that might be what happens.
Because that's usually where slow corners end up.
Yeah.
If they can
48,
tackle.
Yes. No, it looked like he could tackle from the tape there. And in 48, they get Jaquan Brisker, who was a Penn State safety, who looks to be alert, slicing into the backfield, and also makes plays on the ball. So just judging by the highlight tape, looked like a good pick. I wonder what Yahoo graded him.
Well, let's take a look here. I'll tell you about the two Bears picks. Their first pick, Kyler Gordon, B.
Okay.
And Jaquan Brisket was a C+.
Oh. Well, I guess you could do worse. The only other thing that interested me in the second round was the Chiefs get their...
It says that he's tough and instinctive. Once he absorbs an NFL defense, I know what that's code for.
That he's stupid?
He's dumb.
Oh, no. He looked good on tape.
That is straight up draft lingo for the guy as dumb as nails, right?
I don't know his Wonderlic score. I didn't know that he was...
I don't know, but that was code right there. That was
yeah.
It was a dog whistle.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
He's dumb.
That's as bad as talking about the was it the Cowboys defensive end? And he's just such a hustler. He's such a grinder. He's a gamer. It's like, come on. Everyone knows what those buzzwords means, and everyone knows what that means. Once he absorbs a defense. Do they say that about any other prospect? Once he can figure out a defense, come on.
He's dumb.
That's awful.
Bag of rocks.
The only other interesting thing to me in the second round was the Chiefs taking Sky Moore out of Western Michigan.
Yeah.
So sort of their...
They had to get a receiver at some point, right?
Right. They're Tyreek Hill replacement. So the Titans get their A.J. Brown replacement. This guy by the tape looked like the Tyreek Hill replacement. He looked fast.
Yeah.
He looked blazing in the open field. He looked like he had great hands. He reached out and just snatched one of the balls while he was running down the field. Great release off the line, like he was burning people, off the snap. Like, man, his tape, goddamn, it made him look like a fucking cheetah replacement. So maybe it worked out perfectly for them too. These teams,
yeah,
they're trying it, man. They're trying something that maybe we would try, like in Madden. Like we get a guy and he develops, after 4, 5, 6 years into a great player, and then he says, "I want $8 million a year the next contract." And we go,
honestly, that's what I do in Madden. I trust the process.
Get rid of him and draft the next guy that's going to be just like you and a lot cheaper.
You got it. I trust my gamepad skills more than I trust throwing away all my budget for you. Get out of here.
So there you go. The NFL GMs are playing Madden now.
Sky Moore here, Yahoo, says he's a sure-handed. But this, here's some more. You want another dog whistle? What does quicker than fast mean to you? He's quicker than fast, which to me sounds like he's slow.
Yeah, that means his 40 time
wasn't
very
good. But
he's
got moves.
Right.
Right, so... So he, like, creates separation, but he's not, like, a really fast guy. I mean, that's Cooper Kupp, right? That sounds like Cooper Kupp.
I don't know. What's his 40 time? That does sound like he's
his 40 time, but I'm just saying, because Cooper Kupp, if you see it, it just screams to me quicker than fast. He's not fast.
Right. No.
But he's always open.
But he always makes quick twitch moves to get himself open.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, like you said, when you gave him the shit, he just did what was necessary, right? Whatever they needed, he just went and got.
Just put in the work and made himself that guy. Made himself that dude.
You need
to
go inside, I'll go inside. You need an out route, I'll give you an out route. You know, but he's generally just not blowing people away.
No, he does not just go straight in on the go route and beat you right. He has to make about four or five moves and make you look silly, and then he gets open.
Right. So, unless Todd Bowles zero blitzes at the end of the championship game or the division round game.
You are never going to let him forget that.
Oh, Todd Bowles, what are you thinking?
If you ever meet Todd Bowles, you're going to say right to his face, what were you thinking?
What were you doing when you zero blitzed? I understand why they did it, right? I mean, schematically, and I mean, it's first of all, it's Matthew Stafford, it's Sean McVay, they had tight britches, they had just gagged up that entire lead, but man. You know, maybe it was the right call 99% of the time, and that was just the one you didn't get home with it, and Stafford made him pay, right? I mean.
But this is why we can't be NFL insiders. Thank God we don't actually meet any of these people, because we couldn't resist the urge to say right to their face,
banned.
Dude.
Yeah.
or assaulted, and then banned.
Yeah. And then blocked on Twitter, which is the ultimate insult.
Dude, what were you? I'm glad to meet you. I'm very happy that you're a great coach. But what were you thinking when you called this coach?
Yeah, we wouldn't be in the press conference, you know, because we'd be like, oh, yeah, Coach Bowles, on that zero, on that call, what the fuck, dude?
Because I'm sure he was asked, you know, in several different ways after the game.
Yeah.
But not like we would ask. Like, we would be like, a lot more blunt.
What the hell?
Coach, thank you for taking my question. All I want to say is...
Oh, Coach, follow-up question. Who does that?
And in conclusion, I would like to ask, the fuck? Like, really? And that would be my question for pretty much after every game. We'd go to the losing coach and just go, yeah, my question is, really?
Yeah, seriously?
Really?
That's what you drew up?
How much you get paid for this? Really?
Well, so who was doing the player interviews on ESPN?
Nobody. So Susie was in the green room at the beginning of the draft. And she actually talked to that kid that went to Detroit before the pick.
I'm starting to think that when they take off Susie Culber's makeup, it's just a skeleton underneath.
it's good makeup because she keeps she keeps looking presentable every year. But yeah, you can see the age.
How long has she been around?
A long time. A long, long time. Yeah, it was weird. So she was there in the green room, and she actually talked to the forget the guy's name.
So they were doing him in the green. They were doing him in the green room. So on stage,
careful.
it was Melissa Stark.
Oh, okay.
And I wish I could remember what the questions were, and I'm sad that I don't remember. But she asked everybody the same two questions.
How do you feel right now?
Yeah. What's this kind of like?
What
a version
was it like?
Of what's this like? And then what are you going to bring to the blank?
Okay.
That's it.
Right.
Like, wow. That's it. That's hard hitting.
The ESPN one was weird because they had Susie and then they didn't go to her after the picks were done.
Oh,
like,
okay.
They were. I don't know if that was the plan to ignore her for most of the, or if it was just that's how free and crazy the draft was. Because those came in, like, those trades were made, and then the picks were immediately made because those teams were, they were trading up. They knew who they wanted. So it wasn't the normal, languid, full 10 minutes between picks that you normally get. And that's
the
when they fill in.
My God, the picks were coming in so fast. Like, they were stacking them up like three and four at a time.
Yeah, teams are waiting like immediately. Yep, I'm ready. All right. Yeah, it was great. So I think that was what happened was they didn't have a chance.
Right.
Because maybe they go to Melissa, and then maybe they go to Susie after Missy, and they didn't have a chance. They didn't have time to go to Susie because the next pick was already coming.
So
I don't know.
If there's two things I missed watching the NFL Network, obviously number one is Krusty Mike Mayock.
Yeah.
And number two was Dion doing the player interviews, because that was like next level inside baseball, you know, quote unquote. But those interviews weren't just the same two canned questions, and the players were a little bit more loose with Dion.
Yeah.
I liked that, and obviously Dion's got another job now, right? He's a head coach somewhere. Bring him back. Just for that. Melissa Stark was just, she brought nothing to the table.
Right.
She's another one who's been around forever.
Yeah, she has, but she doesn't age. Like, she just stays the same. I don't know if she drinks or does anything. She looks exactly the same as she did 20 years ago.
Pretty much. That was, well, God, was that NBC originally?
I think so. No, you're right about Dion's interviews were unique in that he didn't ask the exact same questions to people. And you're right that it was a little inside baseball, because he seemed to have a relationship with a lot of those guys before they even got up there. So he had some questions that were, you know, of a more personal nature. The problem with me was I hated the Dion questions, because 80% of them were from outer space. Like, you didn't know what the hell he was trying to ask, because he was phrasing it in that Dion way that it's not really English. It's not Ebonics. It's not, it's prime. Like, he has his own language, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, when the guy gets up there and Dion's like, "You did it, baby." Is that a question?
Yeah, what's the guy supposed to say to that? Like,
I get that, but it was much more enjoyable just because it made better TV.
Okay, I'll concede that.
Yeah, because Melissa Stark asking the same two canned questions to everybody, and she didn't interview everybody. It was maybe only every third or fourth guy. And then, of course, admittedly, there were a lot of guys who didn't go. They were at home.
Yeah, half of them weren't there.
Yeah. I do appreciate that we no longer get the shot of the guy getting told he's been picked before the picks are announced. I'm glad they stopped that. That got so out of control, it made the drafts almost unwatchable.
I think the league made both networks stop that.
Yeah, somebody cracked down
either.
On that. Well, or the networks did, because it was starting to make them look stupid when you cut to Kuiper and he's telling you all who it's going to be. While he's talking, they cut to the other guy putting on the hat and talking to the coach on the phone while Kuiper is telling you it's going to be somebody else.
Yeah, that does make you look really ignorant, yes.
Yeah. So it also took away any of the drama of the pick, of the guy actually getting informed. Or they cut to the guy's house and he's on the phone with the coach. Like, I wonder who's going
to
be.
I wonder who's about to get picked.
Yeah. So I'm glad that they stopped that.
Yeah, I am too.
That was getting wildly out of control.
The league cracked down on that. That believe the league cracked down on reporters tweeting their inside information about who's about to get picked.
Okay.
Some guys still do it, but they're not like official NFL reporters. They're like sort of on the fringes or the periphery. But like the official, like the Ian Rappaports and the guys like that, and the Shefties when he's working. But he wasn't working this year. Those guys aren't going to tell you until after the pick is made.
Yeah, and it was Charles Davis on the NFL Network broadcast. I will say was so comically wrong about every pick. It was like, if it was a drinking game, you'd have been drunk by about the eighth or ninth pick, because because as soon as they would say that the pick is in, you know, Rich Eisen, who I'm starting to like, he's wearing thin on me.
Right.
You know, but eventually I think it's just familiarity breeds contempt, but he's just, it's the same shtick with him. Like, he hasn't changed. He's the same guy who was at ESPN.
Right.
You know, and he's clearly getting fed all the interesting tidbits in his ear. So when he tries to sound smart, I'm like, I know you're getting fed this info, so shut the hell up. But he throws it over to Daniel Jeremiah, who's mostly right about who he thinks it's going to be. And then Charles Davis would always cut in and go, or it could be. He was like the whataboutism guy, you know? Well, what about? And every time he threw out the name, dead wrong.
Yeah. This was the wrong draft to try to do that shit. Because no one knew anything.
But I'll tell you what, he did it 32 times with a smile on his face, and
he tried.
He got to sit at the desk, and he paid handsomely. But yeah, he kind of started to get to be comically bad that all of his, or it could be like, it was never that guy.
Yeah. This is the wrong time to do that. This year was not, you had no idea unless you had some sort of real inside info as
right.
to what these teams wanted. Nobody could have possibly, Kiper basically got 2 or 1.5 picks right on his mock draft. That's
right.
comically wrong. For somebody
yeah.
who's supposed to be a 40-year expert at this. But this year was not the year
for
the
expert. You always have to pull out the was it Jim Irsay? Or who was it? The who the hell is Mel Kiper
yeah.
drop? Yeah, because I've told you, it was all over on Twitter yesterday before the draft. Anything that had a hashtag with the draft or Mel Kiper, everybody's just posting the who the hell is Mel Kiper thing.
No, it was it was Jim Irsay, I think.
That's what I
somebody,
thought.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Colts owner, and
it
makes perfect sense.
I do remember that
because he's the type of guy that would say something like that. this was crazy. This was, and we talked about the lead up to this draft, how it was so anonymous, how there were so many guys
yeah.
we never heard of, and God, this. Going to be so boring and how is this going to be interesting?
But the NFL, like the teams created the excitement just with all the action. Picking quite dull.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a very by the numbers first round other than all the trades.
It was exciting because of all the trades and because of all the
right.
speculation of, all right, is this team moving up to get one of these ass quarterbacks? No.
Right.
No.
Now,
no,
I did say when we, in the last show, that I thought what was interesting about this draft was this would be one of the few drafts where we actually saw players dealt.
And sure enough.
And I actually nailed that one. They weren't the players that we thought they would be.
No, we didn't see him coming.
But I had that sense that, because usually on draft day, you don't see. On round one, you don't usually see players attached to these trades, right?
Right.
It's, I'm going to give you my next 4 number one picks, and you're going to give me the number 2 pick, that type of stuff. I'm just going to give you our best wide receiver, and you're going to give me a pick.
And we're just going to try to replace them right now in this draft. They're playing men.
Right. So I was correct about the way it went down on that, but not correct. We just thought it was going to be other guys.
But no, you correctly foresaw with all this activity this offseason that GMs are obviously more open to doing that, to just saying, here's this player that we don't think we're going to be able to sign, so just take him, and we'll take some picks and try to replace
him. I don't see it ending. Baseball has been doing this for years. Like, if your option is get something or let the guy walk and get nothing, I believe get something is always the correct answer.
Correct.
It doesn't mean you're going to win
no
the
doubt.
Trade, but you're going to get something. Like,
you're
this is what the Cubs
something.
Did last year, right? I mean, they had a plan. It was a bad plan, but they had a plan that they were not re-signing these guys, so they got something for all of them, and they trashed the team. And you're seeing these teams in the NFL, like, you know, especially with these third and or 50-year walk years, you got all these receivers now who want money after 3 years. You got to decide, okay, either I'm going to pay you or I'm going to trade you somewhere and let them pay you.
You're right. And then the quarterbacks before that with Stafford and, you know, now this year, Goff before Stafford for Goff.
I'm sitting here, they're actually on my little blurb on the screen, they're actually showing the lady doing the shaken baby thing. to the little kid, so.
They were so happy. They're just throwing the kids up in the air and throwing them around. And
would have been worse if she dropped the kid or something.
One baby just could not possibly want to be anywhere other than there.
So, Kings of Non Sequitur. Did you see the Trevor Bauer thing today?
Oh, yeah. Two years. Hammer.
You have not been criminally charged with anything.
And got 2 years. Yeah, what if he actually
apparently the Law and Order Special MLB Crimes Unit was after you, and slapped your ass with 2 years. Now, I fully expect that's going to get arbitrated, like, down. I think they went that far. Like, okay, we don't want this guy around for a while. If we just give him a year, they're, you know, he'll be back. So I think that they did 2 years. I think he's going to get probably one. That number's got to come down. 2 years?
He's certainly going to appeal it. I don't know how much they're going to bring it. Usually when you get suspended two games and you appeal it, it's automatically, we'll knock a game off.
Yeah. This isn't like you got suspended for a bench-clearing brawl or for throwing at a guy. I mean, I understand what he got suspended for was very serious, the allegations. There's no criminal case.
It's quite the precedent.
It is. And is this a Me Too thing? I don't know, but... I saw that and I was like,
You got it. You already nailed it. It's not about the act. It's about the publicity that the act brought and the women's organizations getting that angry at you.
Right.
Yeah. Don't choke a woman while having sex, even if she wants it, and bring all that attention to us. If you do, we're going to take 2 years of your career.
Unfortunately, the closest comp we have to this is an NFL comp, and that's Deshaun Watson. Things turned out okay for him.
That's not over yet. Goodell hasn't lowered the hammer yet. I mean,
you think that's coming?
Yes. I don't know exactly what he's waiting on. They actually asked him before the draft. He was on the draft.
He gave a non-answer answer.
And he did, and everything's still pending, basically. He's going to hammer Deshaun. I don't know when, but he's going to do it. It's
going to
be
real hard to hammer him because you can hammer him all you want. He got guaranteed money.
He still got paid. So he won in that respect. There's no doubt about that.
So they can pay him. Even if he's at home, that's guaranteed.
Whole contract
last time,
guaranteed.
Last time I checked, guaranteed means you get it no matter what.
31 owners can laugh and say no way in hell, and all it takes is one.
Yeah.
All it takes is
so
the has-beens.
I mean, I'm just looking into my crystal ball here. I don't expect 2 years for Trevor Bauer to hold up, unless like worse stuff comes out. But yeah, MLB cops here. That does set a precedent because he hasn't been criminally charged with anything, and a 2 year. Basically, a two-year ban for optics is that's a lot. I think he gets that brought down, and somebody will sign him.
I don't think the Dodgers have cut him. I think he's still a Dodger.
No, that's true. Know. I mean, I guess he's still on the team, but I mean, I don't know how much of his contract will be left after 2 years. But
I don't know either, and I don't know how much is going to get reduced on appeal because don't know if that's Manfred handled the suspension. Is he handling the appeal too? If he is, I don't know if that is going to get reduced.
Well, I have a feeling that goes to arbitration or
that's what I was wondering was
going to
a group of people.
Right. And I don't think the union's going to back up. The union will fight that too. You got to figure just because of the precedent that's set, even if they think he's scummy as hell, and they don't want to fight it, I think they have to fight it just on the basis of, what's the next one going to be,
And that's exactly right. It's not about whether you like the guy or whether you agree with what he did. It's about he's in our union and we have to protect him and his money and his right to have a career because, of the slippery slope. If you let that go, then the next time somebody, gets a domestic violence, they can get suspended for 2 years and then it goes on and on from there. Somebody spit on the sidewalk. We can take his money and suspend him. Yes. So no, we can't have that.
Get the money off the books. We don't have to pay our luxury tax now. So I just saw that today. That was like a point of like debate that was out there, and I fall on the your side where, if he was a bum, he'd be done, right? We'd never see him again.
They would just cut.
But he's not a bum. He can help you put up W's, and he'll be back.
That's why he's still on the Dodgers roster.
Right.
I think the Dodgers still had this guy on his team with this shit if he wasn't
any
good.
Just had him doing the Deshaun Watson desk duty thing.
Yeah, just go sit in the corner. Go think about what you've done, and we'll get to you later.
Administrative leave.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's the cop that shot the black dude in the back of the head. Go sit down for a while. We'll figure out what to do with you later. Just go sit over there. Yeah, that is a little King's of non sequitur there. But no, I was shocked when I saw that too.
That's why I brought it up. It's fresh.
Yeah, 2 years was a whoa. That was a whoa.
2.5 hours into the show.
Of course.
So it's just me and you talking now, because anybody makes it to this point of the show, they're diehard. So.
Or they fell asleep. Either way, we love you. Thank you for listening to all this. But yeah, this is 2.5 hours about the draft, about the big pick energy, about all this craziness and the trades and the players and the replacement draft picks to replace the players that got traded. It was quite the thing. And it's not over. We got more draft coverage tomorrow. We won't be covering that. You'll be out of town, I believe.
What's that, tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow I'm not home tomorrow.
Yeah. So if you want to keep watching draft coverage tomorrow, go right ahead. I don't think I'll be partaking in that. I think we both need to detox a little after the last couple of nights.
Yeah, day three is such a crapshoot. What do you want? I mean, I used to watch. I mean, I remember the whole damn thing in one day.
That was a long-ass day.
It was 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then that thing would go until about that time at night. And then it was day two. And even the coverage on now what would be day three is not the same, because they're just talking about round one and two and three, and then every 10 minutes, here were the last six guys picked.
Right.
So.
And the introduction of the day three coverage is the exact same, which is you have to watch day three of the NFL draft because Tom Brady was
a
six-round
they'll put
draft
up the list of names of guys who went late. And good luck figuring out which one of those guys is going to be the guy.
Yes, that's no way in hell you could possibly know that. If you thought he was that good, he wouldn't be there in the sixth round.
They wouldn't be fifth rounders if they thought they were that good.
Exactly.
All right. That was a good show. It was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It was kind of like the draft. It was better than I expected it to be.
Well, there you go. It's always good to beat expectations. Better than getting to the end and going, oh God, that was terrible. That was a slog. I have no idea when our next.
This is the last point where this is the last scheduled show.
Right.
So now we really are into the meat of Kings of Non Sequitur, where we just get that little internal clock that goes off in our head and goes, well, we should do a show.
Yeah, we have no idea when our next show is going to be. We just know it's probably going to be before Memorial Day.
It tends to be, I would say we kind of get that 2 to 3 week thing going, let's throw up a show.
Yeah. Or something happens.
Right, something will happen. We got to talk about it. Or we just need to catch up on things. So, yeah, that's good. Draft is like that. It's our last, real deep football discussion. Until
the season's about to start.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, obviously, Halls of Infamy,
mm-hmm.
That come up. But that usually comes up August time, July, August. So.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a couple 3 weeks. Yeah, we'll definitely have a show here at some point in May.
Yep. So the rest of the spring and summer is intermittent as far as our shows go.
There is no schedule at this point. From this point through the start of football, other than Hall of Infamy is always Hall of Fame weekend.
That's right. For both sports.
Yeah. And this year I am baseball?
Yes. Last year I had
I,
the...
I know I've got to be baseball because I've got my much longer list.
Ah. Well, I know you are, because I remember last year for baseball I had the daily double of Angry Black Men of Albert Bell and Milton Bradley.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about my baseball list is it's 8 deep now.
Wow. So you actually have to call.
Correct. So I've actually got to, pitch some things or cut some things off. And this is a good one. My baseball one's going to be good this year. I'm excited already.
And the fantasy team early, as the first month comes to an end.
We were in first a few days ago, and then we weren't, and then it just bounces back and forth. Right. Thank God for Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony F. Rizzo, professional
nine
hitter.
Home runs now.
Crazy, leading the league.
Leads the league in home runs. Yeah, Anthony Rizzo. We can't buy a win, I'll tell you that.
Well, but how do you know?
Hard to chase wins, although we got a win from Tanner Houck today because he did mop up. Because Rich Hill came in and went four, and then Houck pitched the next three and got the win.
There you go, bolt guy. Well,
because he didn't get to go to Canada because apparently he's unvaccinated. So they just basically, instead of having him lose his turn, they had him pitch out of the bullpen in the day right before they left for Toronto, and then they had him back. So I would assume he'll be back into the regular rotation now because he's actually been a bright spot for that rotation. Tanner Houck, he's a buck.
I didn't know we had fallen out. I knew we were up there near the top. So
fourth right now?
Yeah.
It changes so much this time of year.
I was hoping we were still at the top so I could play our jungle nonsense sound and celebrate that we're at the top, but we're not at the top anymore.
But I'll play it anyway. Three more home runs tonight.
Wow.
For our team. Yeah, Bregman, Rizzo, and Sean Murphy, who's actually been our second best hitter.
I'm laughing at him because he was undrafted in my league, and then my catchers are not doing anything. And I'm just looking around, and I'm like, you know what? I know I'm going to kill him by picking him up because I always kill when I pick up anyone that's on your money team. I got it. I'm going to pick him up anyway. And so far, I haven't killed him. So it's
a three-run bomb tonight.
Yeah, Sean F. Murphy. That's what I'm talking
about.
Sean
Murphy Bunting.
No, different guy.
That was a great story when I told that story about how I thought I was out the MLB playoffs were on a different TV and I couldn't figure out what was going on, but it was a football game. Yeah, that was crazy.
No, not Sean Murphy laying down bunts. No, Sean Murphy Bunting, the football player.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out that was a dude. That was his name.
That's who he is. It's his name. Don't wear it out.
So what I'm trying to find for the cover of our podcast picture is an actual picture of Sean Murphy laying down a bunt.
So it'll be Sean Murphy bunting.
And then that would be, and I would have that be like the cover photo because that's such an inside joke.
Very.
It's a football reference with a baseball picture. So people are like, what the hell is this show about?
It's about Sean Murphy Bunting. What are you talking about? Come on.
All right. I'm going to go.
All right. Again, we have no idea when our next show will be, sometime in the next month or so. But everybody enjoy your spring, and thank you for listening to NFL Draft Aftermath, the 2022 edition. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you sometime in the month of May. Enjoy your spring and your baseball and your NFL draft if you're still watching that. Bye.
Bye.